Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. It is Tuesday, November 27th, 2012. This week's edition of Whiskey and Barbecue in the Pit. Hope you guys had a good Thanksgiving. We had a great one. Got to do a little bit of cooking. Got to do some hanging out with friends and family. It was a really, really good time. Definitely enjoyed it. Hope you did the same. We'll talk a little bit about Thanksgiving Day cooking here in a minute. Once again, your host, Chad Ward. If you need to contact us tonight or anytime, you can do it through a couple of ways. On Facebook, either Whiskey Bent or Whiskey Bent BBQ. On Twitter, Whiskey Bent BBQ. Email, whiskeybentbbq@gmail.com. All three are pretty active. All three are pretty live. So if you need us, you can get a hold of us there. I want to thank last week's guest. We had some really good show numbers. I was really happy with it as far as the live listens and the downloads, and that's thanks to the guests and thanks to the fans for spreading the word. We started off with Operation Barbecue Relief, talking about the great things they did up there with Hurricane Sandy, talking about how, you know, anybody can help, whether it be, you know, with their time, with their resources, whatever the case is. Stan always does a great job over there, him and the crew, Will and Jeff, you know, real team effort kind of heading that up, and then the hundreds of folks that actually get there, show up, you know, take time out of their lives to help folks that are in a pretty bad situation. So Operation Barbecue Relief is doing great things. Anything we can do to help them, make sure and do it. Second guest, and then coming back kind of after hours, was Lucas Hand. Lucas kind of walked us through what he has seen out there in the off-road racing business, you know, what he's learned. As far as, you know, sponsorships and kind of creating win-win situations. And it was really cool to talk to him. Got a lot of feedback on that segment. A lot of folks really liked it and enjoyed getting to hear, you know, how Lucas has kind of approached it from an off-road point of view and how you can take that and use it to approach kind of your barbecue team or your barbecue business on you know, acquiring sponsors and doing things to kind of help lighten that competition debt load, if you will. Then we finished up with Tom and Drew from IAB 30. Great guys, cooked with them a couple times. They were coming fresh off their back-to-back Plant City KCBS pig jam wins. So good guys, we got to know them a little bit. Got to talk about that new cooker theirs. Obviously guys with a real passion for barbecue, love what they do. And just one of those teams that hadn't been around for a while, got into it for the right reasons. And seeing a lot of success. So, Tom and Drew, thanks again for being on the show, and I really enjoyed it. So, tonight we lead off with a oldie but a goodie. We've had him on once or twice. That's my good buddy Darian over at Cosmos Q. You know, Darian's always, you know, he's always working. He's in the meat lab. He's got he's got his great line of products that we've been using, golly, since 2010. You know, he's always tweaking. He's always doing new things. If you haven't been over to the new site, cosmos.com, it's beautiful, man. Got some really nice graphics over there. Love kind of the country, earthy theme. We're going to talk to Darian a little bit more about that. We'll get him on the show. We're just going to catch up with him, see how his 2012 barbecue season went, talk through some categories, which ones did he really like, what was he doing, which ones is he working on during the off season. I know for us, we're working on ribs and pork really hard. We feel good about chicken. We're making a couple tweaks to brisket. But, you know, we feel like the cooking process and everything there is right. So ribs and pork are the two that we're kind of really strapping up and going after here during this, I guess, what is it for us, 6 cooking this weekend, then we don't cook again until January, second weekend of January. So during this 5-week off season, that's what we're going to be working on. So we're going to talk to Darian about stuff like that. Also talk to Darian about some of the customers that he does sponsor. What he's looking for as a brand, when he's wanting to sponsor, you know, when he's looking for people to represent his brand, what's he looking for? Those type of things. So you know, we're going to talk a little bit about that. And what kind of success he's seeing from his general customers out in the marketplace at a barbecue contest. I know there's some commercial kitchens that use Cosmos line of products as far as restaurants, et cetera. So, we're going to talk about that a little bit. But always good to have Darian on. We'll blow through the time we have allotted, as always. I'm not worried about that. But Darian's a great guy, always fun to talk to. And anytime you get a good old Oklahomian on the phone, it's a good thing. So then we are going to finish up the show with Joe Beelen, Tippecanoe Barbecue. If you haven't heard of Joe Beelen and you've been following Competition Barbecue the last 2 years, you've probably been living under a rock. The guy won the 2011 Sam's Club. He won the 2011 American Royal Invitational. Probably to me, the Sam's Club stuff's early, so it's kind of hard to say. But for being a pure, KCBS cook, not like a Myron that cooks, KCBS, FBA, MBN, not being a Melissa that cooks KCBS, MBN, just being a straight up KCBS cook, and winning the Sam's Club and the Invitational at the Royal, it's a pretty damn good year. I would have to, with the amount of folks that are competing these days, the level of competition, pretty dang impressive. I would have to say it's a very significant feat. And if you go back and look at Tippecanoe's 2011, one for the ages, man. Those guys, when they showed up, they were all over it, all the way around it, all the time. So we're going to talk to Joe, get him in the pit for the first time, get to know a little bit more about him, the team. Also, we're going to talk about he does competition classes, corn-fed cooking barbecue school with Ryan from Big T's Q Crew, which also, no slouch yourself. I mean, we're going to talk about him in a second, but if you want to go look at the KCBS Team of the Year rankings, you got Big T's in 5th and Tippecanoe in 6th. That's pretty big deal. So those guys are doing a class that we're going to talk about. Locations, dates, cost, we'll go through all that. So we'll get the 411 on the schools that they have planned for 2013. And then also we'll also take time to get to know Joe a little bit, how he got started in this thing, what he loves about it, what keeps him driving. Because last year, I know they worked, they cooked a pretty aggressive schedule. So it'll just be fun to get to know them a little bit better. So that'll be Tippecanoe. They'll be coming in a little after the 8 o'clock hour. Get started. A little bit of a recap. So talking about Thanksgiving. We had a good time. Had about 17 people over at the house. We had the Southern Bread Smoker fired up with one turkey and a 16.5-pound prime rib. And then we had on the GMG, we had 2 turkeys that we cooked on it. So the wife loves turkeys. So we cooked 3 turkeys, had one 16-pound prime rib. She promised she would eat on the leftovers. She has been good to her word when it comes to the turkey. And honestly, at the end of the day, I mean, is there ever a problem having leftover prime rib? Absolutely not. It's great. and turned out really good on the SBS. We did a little combo of some lump charcoal with some cherry and some maple wood. Turned out dynamite, man. Had a really good flavor. A little bit of smoke to it, but not over smoky. Had some of that sweet tones to it. Got it rubbed up nice, and it turned out really good. Probably went about 4 hours, 4:15, about 250-ish, 225 to 250. So really, really good. Enjoyed it. So hope you guys had a great holiday. Go ahead and start working on whatever you're going to be cooking for Christmas. It's going to be here before you know it. Looks like for us, it's probably going to be turkey and prime rib again, maybe a ham. But we're going to try probably some sides on the smoker, some things like that. Maybe instead of putting that sweet potato casserole in the oven, we may throw it out there on the GMG and let it take care of it, give it a little bit of flavor. So looking forward to Christmas. If you're starting to work on your recipes, go ahead and do it now. Nobody wants to look like an ass on Christmas Day with a half-assed protein they're putting out there on the table. Moody Q asking, will Whiskey Mountain Barbecue be at Perry? No, we will not. Moody Q, just going to be honest with you. My personal take on Perry is if they'd make it a two-day event, love to go up there and cook it. Love to cook an invitational on Friday and an open on Saturday, or invitational on Saturday, open on Sunday, you know, however you want to slice it. But, you know, ever since the first year we went and did it, 2010, we went up to Perry for the Florida Triple Crown, kind of cap off of the season. We qualified, we went, we turned in two boxes at one time. You turned in your invitational box at one table, you turned in your open box at the other table. And to me personally, probably just one of the things I've ever been a part of. So until we kind of change the way we do that in FBA and actually make it an invitational and an open, probably never going to cook Perry again. So anyway, probably a little bit more opinionated than you wanted, but that's kind of the long and short of it for us. Plus, it's a pretty healthy ride. So if you're going to go up there, you know, it always makes it easier. Like where Kel's Phelps was, the way Kel did it with his invitational and open, you know, and he's an hour and a half past Perry, would do that one every time in the world, man, when he qualified to go to Kel's event. You got to do it, and it makes it worth it. So I think it's just one of those things as the FBA board gets situated, just something to look at on moving that thing to 2 days and really, you know, enjoying it, making something out of it. I just feel like you're putting a hell of a lot on the cooks when you're making two boxes. And usually you're making the two boxes at the same time, so it's really pretty much the same product. It's not like you found out on day one that they didn't like your sauce, so you're tweaking on day two. No, you're sitting there and you're building off of the same product, two boxes. And then you go and get a top five call on one box and a bottom 20 placing on the other box. So it just doesn't make much sense to me. But anyway, that ever gets fixed, absolutely. We'd love to be at the year-end event up in Perry for the FBA. So soapbox down off of. One more thing before we go over to my good buddy Darian. If you get a chance tonight after this show, go over to the OutdoorCookingChannel.com. You got Greg Rempe over there. Got a great show lined up tonight. Greg's also trying to do something pretty damn spectacular. Greg has said he will pretty much like go with the whole Guy Fieri look. You know, tipped out, you know, dyed goatee, like just really... really something that would be interesting to Greg do, especially with that diminishing hairline. Just be interesting to see. So in exchange for that, he's trying to raise $5,000 for Scotty Johnson's, you know, Cancer Sucks Foundation. And you can do that by PayPal over there. The PayPal address is – Greg even spelled it out for me, so I didn't screw it up. Hold on 1 second. Because I've probably tried to email Greg back in the day like a gazillion times, and I would always screw up his email address. So if you're interested, go over to PayPal. Well, you know, once again, $1, $5, $100, whatever you've got. It is Greg at thebbqcentralshow.com. Greg at thebbqcentralshow.com. That's the donation address for PayPal. I have to say, I would love to see Greg tipped out like Guy Fieri with a dye job and all that jazz, that would be pretty damn hilarious to me. So with that being said, go over, catch Greg's show tonight, theoutdoorcookingchannel.com. Always good. It's always where I head after the show's over and get a little bite to eat and top off the drink. That's usually where I'm at. So go on over there, check it out. That being said, one last sponsor we want to thank before going over to Darien, and that is thebarbecuesuperstore.com. Rich and Mark, we talk about them every week. I was actually on there this weekend taking a look at some things as we talk about the next 4 or 5 weeks where we're going to do some practicing. Obviously, just messing around with some different sauces, rubs, this and that. Just more as kind of finishing things. Darien and I are going to talk a little bit about kind of what we're looking at doing with our main program here in a little bit. But, you know, just going over there and man, just a breadth of information and products over there at thebarbecuesuperstore.com. You've got, you know, your barbecue stuff, your Slap Yo Daddy, Butchers, Cosmos, whole assortment. If you haven't checked them out, go do it. You can do it over there at thebarbecuesuperstore.com. You can also do it on their Facebook page. If you're a friend of them on Facebook and you use the Facebook store, you're going to get a 5% discount on already low prices. Sign up for that mailing list. If you're on that mailing list, you'd have found out that Cyber Monday and Black Friday, through the whole weekend, they were having 15% off with a coupon code. So go ahead and sign up for that. These aren't guys that are going to bombard you with something every day. The only time that the Barbecue Superstore is going to email you is they've got a new product they think you may be interested in. They got a special going on. It's one of those guys that you don't mind putting them on your email because, you know, you're maybe going to get average of 2 emails a month. And when you do get something, it's actually noteworthy. It's something you care about. So these guys are definitely folks that don't abuse the system. So even if you go over there and just want to sign up under the contact us, send me your specials, this and that, go do it. So once again, thanks to Mark and Richard over at thebarbecuesuperstore.com for their support. And we're very, very happy to be affiliated with them. That being said, another guy we are happy to be affiliated with, actually for Whiskey Mint Barbecue, our second official sponsor ever behind the local credit union, and that's my buddy Darien. What's going on, partner?
Not much. What's up, Chad?
Hey, man, long time no talk. It's good to have you back in the pit.
Well, thank you for having me, man. I appreciate it. Gonna get me out of the meat locker.
Hey, nothing wrong with that, man. So how's life been treating you, man? What you been up to?
Oh, I'll tell you what, man. We have been slammed. This year has been phenomenal for Cosmos Q and all the cooks that use our products. We've actually took our hobby and actually turned it into a job, so keeping me pretty busy, you know, which is a good thing. I like it.
Sure. I mean, is it one of those things, and let's talk a little bit, you know, Darien, we talked a lot about kind of cooking and the cook team last time we had you on, and we're obviously going to recap your 2012 barbecue season a little bit later, but let's talk a little bit from the business side. Kind of what drove you to start Cosmos Q? I mean, what was that whole, you know, hey, honey, what do you think about trying this kind of deal?
Well, you know, it all started, you know, one day. And, you know, like everybody else, there's, you know, you always think that, you know, in the back of your head, you know, that guy's doing a good job or, you know, but I think I can, you know, I think I can do this. I think I can do it, but I think I can do it better. And that's, you know, obviously the business, you know, side of me. And, you know, so we dove in. I pulled some of my contacts from my everyday job, which is environmental. And I just went looking for the best of the best. And that's what we did. I remember my first order, I think I ordered 100 pounds. And, mm-hmm. Oh, my goodness, I sat on that stuff. It probably wasn't, you know, 30 or 45 days, but it seemed I thought I was never going to sell this. I thought my wife was going to beat me to death for spending all this money on this product, and I had no plan. I was just, you know, I just pulled my boots on tight and, you know, let her rip.
And what year was that, Darien? Around what time?
I believe that was it's going so fast now. It's 2012. I want to say 2008, 2009, somewhere.
Yeah.
I think it's 2009 is when we really dug in.
And so, really, about that time, I don't know when Dave, the other guy, Butchers, got into business, but I would say at that time when you entered in, probably the majority of the game was ran by Fab, right?
That's one statistic I really don't keep up with.
Yeah.
It's so hard to follow. I do know this. When I did jump in, obviously Dave, you know, him and his family are great people. I don't know, you know, just in our region, the majority of the people around here was using his product. You know, the bad thing is when I jumped in, I got a lot of ridicule. You know, you can't do that. What are you thinking? You know, you're too small. You don't know what you're doing. You know, and the whole time, no one had any clue behind the scenes that, you know, although I was the face of the company, you know, and I don't know about anybody else, but we have food scientists on staff.
Mm-hmm.
So everything we come up with isn't something that we just pull out of our rear end.
Right.
You know, we actually, I test this stuff live. There is nothing on my shelves that I haven't went to a competition and put my butt on the line before it ever even had a label made for it. Obviously, the Reserve blend is just killing it this year. And that was a product that, you know, just kind of, you know, came out of, you know, I had the regular beef injection, and, you know, in the back of my head, I thought, you know, this is great. You know, this is selling awesome.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah.
We went from
and
100
get results.
Pounds. Yeah. And everybody was getting, and it was kind of mixed emotions when I came out with that. I thought, you know, I got a great product here that's selling well. You know, why do I want to put something out there that is better or that I think is better? Because some people may or may not. But, you know, and then it hit me, and I was like, you know, there's not really a market for what I consider high-end injections.
Mm-hmm.
This injection costs more than all of them on the market.
Yep.
You know, and there's a reason for that, because, you know, it's obviously the studies behind it are just, you know, this is exactly what you need. And we were shooting for all the benefits of injection without all the off taste that some injections put
mm-hmm.
out, you
mm-hmm.
know. And, I tell you, the first time I turned it loose to another team, and, you know, we was both at the same competition. It was at a Sam's Club regional event, and boom, first place brisket. Boom, third place brisket. And I thought,
all right.
Uh-oh. I thought, oh, no, we might have something here. And then next competition, first place. American Royal Invitational, third place out of God knows how many teams. And then I thought, okay, now we have something. I think it's time to throw it out there. So I ordered, I don't know, it was probably 500, 800 pounds of it. And it was only going to be for a limited time. And little did I know, I still got the email. I had a guy, he said, I don't care. You can cut everybody off from this day forward, and I will thank you for it, but I'll pay you no matter what it costs as long as you sell it to me.
Yep.
So,
yeah, it does, and I think that's a that's a good point you brought up is, and don't get me wrong, you know, we're not going to badmouth any other injection company.
Absolutely.
Out there. They all have their own merits. I've used them all. I've used Fab. I've used Cosmos. I used Butchers. I just like your stuff. Have since late 2009, which really before that we had just done a little bit of Fab stuff and a little bit of Butcher stuff, but. Anyway, mm-hmm. It just always has worked for me. I've always enjoyed it. But to me, you do hear it. And guys, I'm going to tell you, one of the best things you can ever do is start getting to know the judges in your area. And not from the point of view of, you know, well, hey, man, I'm going to turn in 10 and a half slices of brisket and, you know, I'm going to lay them all sideways. Not for those reasons, but just to see what's going on. You know, but because not that they, I mean, you want to think because you make friends with them that they're reasonable, but they're going to tell you, hey, man, this guy at the table, after they turned in the brisket card, he said he was really disappointed that entry 6 didn't have that artificial flavor to it. And you're going to go, really? Wow. What, was he the only one that said that? You know, hopefully he is. But you're just going to learn things like that by just talking to judges and getting to know them.
Yep.
You know, and I said all that to say, in the early days, I got to say, I had numerous judges come by and go, you know what they said? They said, there's something else that's starting to pick up out here. Because we're tasting a lot of briskets that don't taste like fab. And it's like, yeah, I mean, there's some new products out there. You know, some guys are buying stuff from Darian or Dave. Some guys are blending their own thing, you know, or some guys are just taking fab that they have been using for years and cutting it way, way different than you'd ever think.
Yep.
But it's interesting to see and talk to the judges as they see these trends start happening, you know?
Yep. And, you know, you always got to keep your ear to the ground because obviously, you know, at the end of the day, we can do whatever we want, you know, at our cook site, but mm-hmm. we're judged by 6 individuals that, you know, they really could care less about you or what yep. you're using. All they want is something that tastes real, that is, you know, big flavors. Obviously, they take little bites, so... You know, that's what we geared this around.
Well, you know, and I'll be one of the first ones to tell you, Darian, this year it hadn't been exactly where I wanted it to be. It once again, you know, it's one of those things. To me, your cook season's usually in direct correlation to how much you cook. And, you know, this year with, you know, the real job demands, you know, obviously getting married, honeymoon, stuff like that, we just didn't get to cook as many contests as we like to. Not that that's an excuse. It's just one of those things that, you know, the more you kind of stay in that barbecue shape of being out there every 2 or 3 weeks, the better you cook.
Yes.
You know, so anyway. But, you know, I got to say this year to me, one of the big things was I said, you know, hey, I don't want to do it. I don't want to do anything with Blues Hog involved. Not that I don't like Blues Hog. I think Blues Hog is a great sauce. It's the backbone of competition barbecue. You know, ton of people use it. But I said, you know what? I want to do something different. Man, we got our ass kicked this year. And not saying that I needed it to be 50-50 like before or 30-30-30 like before, but I had to have some bit of it in there just to give that familiarity. You know what I'm saying? That's the line we're trying to balance. We're trying to keep it familiar and average and well-cooked, but if you get too far outside of that line and you lose some of those familiar tastes, now you're kind of... either, you know, in that first or last kind of deal, you know, where people are either going to really love it and go, damn, that guy went outside the box, or they're going to go, man, that doesn't taste like everything else. So it's a fine line we walk in, and sometimes maybe we overthink it a bit.
Yeah, I would say that, you know, one of the, you know, things that I always tell people, you know, don't show up trying to beat everybody. Show up trying to screw it up less than everybody.
Yeah, exactly.
Because, you know, and that's just our nature as cooks. We think, you know, more is better. You know, obviously if this rub is working, obviously more is going to be, you know, it's going to really work. And so many times that's not the case, you know.
No. And it's one of those things that you just kind of keep tweaking and messing around with. So you say the Reserve Blend has really been your one that's taken off this year and done really well. The one I'm interested in and I kind of like is I kind of like that that Chipotle rub.
Killer bee.
Yeah. I'll tell you what, man, that Chipotle's a flavor, if you're not, you know, working it, you know, on your butts and some other areas, I think you're missing out a little bit.
Yeah. I tell you what, the pork guys out there right now, it's amazing. It's unbelievable. even, you know, and we've done some experimenting this year. I was, when I rap, I was a meet up guy because
yep.
I was always afraid to lose my color.
Yep.
But with that Chipotle, you can flip it over and just bury that thing in liquid. And when you pull it back out of that foil and flip it over and go to get your color and set your sauce, man, it is just, it is beautiful. Not to mention the taste back it up. You know, it gives you a little bit of that sweet, a little bit of that savory.
Yep.
But that ever so slight kick in the back of your throat that goes, wow.
Yep. Well it's
good.
And that's what I love about, you know, the guys in chat, and it's going to sound like I'm teeing them up. But you know, Craig Sherry, you know, kind of that same deal. You get that with your rub, but you also get a little bit when you use, depending on which one of the rib candies you do use. What I've been playing around with is that Killer Bee Chipotle with Craig's apple cinnamon rib candy.
And I tell you what, Craig does an amazing job at what he does, too.
Yes, absolutely, man. And he's – go ahead.
When you put these combinations together, you know, and everybody will see it, you know, when they try it, it's just it can take an average rib or average pork and just – it just slingshot you to the front of the line.
Yep.
Instantly.
Yeah, I completely agree with you. So would you say that's one that the, you know, because that's one of your newer products. Would you say that's one that's really taken off in 2012? You kind of see the sales of it increase each and every month?
Yeah, we've actually had to go to stocking all the new rubs at the quantities of our old rub, which is, mm-hmm. you know, we order them in by the pallet.
Yep.
At first, you know, I was... you know, trying to be a little reserved, you know, I don't want to invest too much. And then next thing you know, I'm cooking every, you know, 4-H event and ag event, just trying to get rid of the stuff.
Yep.
But, you know, and I remember right when it took off, it went so fast that they completely drained me and I couldn't get it made fast enough. And I'm like, I don't care how you make it. I don't care if you put it in 1-pound bags or,
yeah,
you know.
Get it out. Yeah, right. Make sure it's there, the quality's right, and get it out to my boy. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
That's crazy. You know, and let's talk about that for a second. You know, we're teetering back and forth between the products and the company. But, you know, so how do you handle that? You've obviously got a kind of a co-packing agreement there, somebody you trust from a quality point of view. You've got your food scientists on board. You're obviously... like we've talked about in the past when we've had Craig on the show, you're doing batch level, you know, testing to make sure, you know, because with the ingredients you guys are dealing with, you know, let's understand, folks, they're grown naturally. So, you know, there's going to be different spice levels, salt levels, this and that. So you're really trying to make sure at the end of the day, everything's within those requirements. So,
right.
That,
you
got to have those QA and production thresholds that say, if it's above or below this, I know it's not going to give me the end product I want.
Right. And that's where, I mean, you know, thank goodness the team that we have put together, they understand, you know, the quality thresholds, and that I tell you what, I am not afraid to tell everybody I don't have it and I'll ship it back, you know. And they know that, you know. Thank God I've never actually had to do that with, you know, any of my rubs. But, you know, I have got some stuff in and said, this ain't right. This don't look right. Send it back. Let's redo it.
Yeah, exactly.
And, you know, because ultimately at the end of the day, you know, that's my name on there. You know, I'm the guy shaking the hand, sealing the business deal. And if I'm going to put my name behind it, I'm going to promise you, you're going to have the same stuff I got.
Well, here's the other problem, Darian. You're the guy having to show up at a contest and cook next to the guys that are not only cooking but drinking.
Yep.
And if they think that product's falling off a little bit, don't think you ain't going to catch an earful, buddy.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, thank goodness I've never actually had that. I did have one guy tell me. He told me one time he'd never used my stuff, but by the end of the competition, he was over the trailer.
No, no, and so, you know, we talk about the actual making of the product, the quality management, those type of things, but then let's talk a little bit about the distribution side. I think that's something that people don't really pay enough attention to, and you know, guys, I always, when I have Craig and Darian and these guys on that have built good barbecue brands, I always like asking these questions because everybody sits there and goes, well, hey, maybe I want to bottle my stuff one day, or hey, maybe I want to do this. I just want you to understand what you're getting into. It's definitely not something I would say, Darian, when you're getting started and really trying to take off, if it's not something you're willing to devote 20 to 30 hours a week of your free time. You probably don't need to do it, do you?
Absolutely. I work 15 hours every single day. And and actually the only rest I get is when I do go to a competition. Or when everybody else is at them, so they're not ordering. So, but then again, you know, like you said, you got to understand the entire realm of it. It's not you just order it,
right.
Label it, you know, set it up. Obviously, I mean, you keyed up on the new website.
Yep.
I mean, that probably took me a month to have that thing put together because there's so many website guys out there that don't know shit about what they're doing, and they'll sell you a piece of crap all day long. I mean, I'm a living testimony of that. I've had some of them that, hell, it was everything I could do just to keep the thing up and running. You know?
Yep. No, I completely agree with you. And when you're, when, you know, and one of the things that and I got to say, that's something that Barbecue Superstore, which all your products are carried in, Rich Parker and the guys over there, one of the things that I really like about their new site also is, you know, if you go on a website, and I agree with yours, and I also, you know, I think Craig does a good job with it too, and all three have invested money in them. But man, you know, you got to feel safe. You don't want to be putting your credit card information in something that looks like a damn 10th grader programmed it. That's just human nature. If it doesn't look professional, people start going, is this somebody I really want to share my information with? And that's key, man. That's big.
And it's, you know, it's not cheap to do that. You know, it costs every step of the way. And that's what I always tell people. I mean, I have people, customers that they'll place an order and they'll go, hey, I forgot to order this. Can you charge my card? And I can't, you know,
right.
I physically can't. And I, you know, I tell them, I said, well, just go reorder and, you know, and I'll knock the shipping off, throw it in your order.
Yep.
But, I mean, you know, that you always got to, you know, think about stuff like that. I use PayPal forever.
Yep.
Nothing against PayPal. PayPal works great.
They're greedy
but,
little bastards.
But, you know, when you get to a certain level, you know, when you got to come outside of that PayPal range, that's when it starts, you know, you got to keep your head above water and start realizing the people you do business with. Thank God the people that do my website are – I think when I last looked, they were rated number one in the country for what they do.
Yep.
And you know, when I call somebody, they're on the phone. I'm not sending a text message to somebody that's sitting in their mama's basement, you know, just trying to fix your website in between Call of Duty games.
Right. Exactly. Between Call of Duty games. I like that. You know, and honestly, and obviously, you're handling all the fulfillment yourself too, right? Once the orders do come in, they're coming to you, you or your wife or you know somebody there in the Cosmos Empire is getting them boxed up and out the door.
Yep, you know the one thing that I said since day one, the quality care that we deliver to our customers is key. So if you send me an email, you may not hear from me, you know, within an hour, but you will hear from me that day unless for some reason it gets thrown into spam, which is very highly unlikely. But, you know, I've even had to go with this new iPhone 5 thing. And anytime anything happens in my company, it doesn't matter if it's an order going out or an order coming in, I'm immediately notified. If a customer has an issue, life stops. You know, because I'm that guy. If I'm going to trust you enough to give you my information and to buy into what you're selling me, I want that connection, that link, you know, and that's key when you're doing business. And I think often so many times you got, you know, people with great ideas that have a great product that go out of business.
But because they have poor ass execution and people skills.
Absolutely.
That's the two things.
Absolutely. And that was one of the driving factors that, you know, that put me in the position where I am today, you know.
It's not your height or your rugged good looks. It's the way you do business.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. I always tell everybody, you know, I'm a handshake guy.
Yep.
I don't need a contract. I don't need a bunch of crap. You know, if we shake hands on something, you bet your butt I'm gonna come through with it.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So let's jump over on the product realm for a second. I'm gonna actually pick your brain for my personal gain, and we're just going to let everybody listen, okay?
All righty, let's go.
Let's talk a little bit about the pork soak. You know, obviously, you know, it's got to be something that around the house is good for chops, small loins, stuff like that. But what do you know about people using it on ribs?
With ribs, you know, it's funny you bring that up, because when we were putting the label together for the instructions, you know, we tested it and tested it and tested it. You know, ribs in Oklahoma aren't ribs in Wyoming or California, mm-hmm, or Florida or New York, or hell, for that matter, even in Oklahoma.
Yeah.
You know, you
can
crack open a set of ribs and have a 6-pounder and a 3-pounder. You know what I mean? How do you work that equation into your pork soak? So I had to kind of straddle the lines. So with the pork soak, you want to make sure, first of all, start with the directions. Read them, find out how it's going to integrate with your rubs, whatever you're using, your sauce, your cooking method, and just go at that. If you go too much, and I'll raise my hand, I've been key at this, I've turned, you know, ribs into little ham sticks, you know.
Oh, yeah.
And that's exactly what they taste like.
Yep.
But, you know, I did it intentionally. I intentionally, and it goes back to, you know, what I said earlier, more isn't always better. Longer isn't always better. Shoot for what it is. See how it fits in your profile, and then adjust from there. With ribs, I always, you know, go, if you've got a real big cut of ribs that's real thick and real meaty, obviously it's going to be able to handle more than a baby back rib.
Yep.
So you know, the baby back, you won't have to soak near as long as you would, you know, a seaboard rib that is just,
yep,
you know, got monster.
If you go and buy a 3-pack of spare ribs and it's 14 pounds, it can probably take a little bit of a little bit of extra love in the brine.
Yep.
But
yep,
if you go and buy a 3-pack of baby backs and they're 8.5 pounds, you just got to understand, you know, that's something to understand about what you're starting with.
Right. You know, I got a builder that lives out here by me, and he always tells me, you know, if you start off crooked, you're going to end crooked. You know? And usually that's what happens. You know, so my advice would be, you know, just run it at the directions, and if you want to taper off, you know, just pull one rack out and cook it on the weekends. I mean, God, I think, you know, all of us know somebody that would eat them ribs even if you didn't like them, you know.
Yep.
Just start with one and just, you know, go with it from there. And it's funny you bring up the pork soak, because the very first time I ever used it, and I get this question a lot on pork butt, you know, how long can I soak my pork butt for? I did mine for 12 hours. I got to that competition early, and I mixed it up, and I soaked that pork butt for 12 hours. And when
really?
It came out of there, I injected it like nobody's business and ripped off my first 180.
So you went at, and what did you use? Kind of a trash bag method on the port? Just built you a brine in a heavy duty bag and threw your butts in there?
Yep. Yep.
Okay. And so
get them 2 gallon bags and
yep.
You know, and just like the chicken soak, I just dump it in there. Obviously, your meat's cold. That is your ice in the brine scenario.
Yep.
Dump your product in there. Throw your water in there. I leave my water out that I mix all my soaks with, so it's, you know, room temperature, mix it up, and that's it.
Wow. And so then obviously you're throwing them in there on the brine. Are you rotating them at all during those 12 hours, Darian?
I'll get in there and I'll mix it up a little bit because
right.
Obviously, you know, some of your spices in there are going to settle. So, you know, every couple hours or whatever, I'd walk by there and pick it up, flip it, you know.
Joss it a little bit,
shake
yeah.
Shake it up. Yep.
All right. And so then you brought it out and you took your injection just off label and then just started injecting the hell out of it too.
Yep.
I like that. And how long, like in that process, how long are you want to let that injection get there, sit there?
Well, at the time, I think that I won that one on my FE, and I was letting that injection stay in there for at least 4 hours.
Yep.
So I got there it was 7 o'clock in the morning. They inspected me, and boom. I mean, I parked the trailer. I didn't even get it plugged in. And I, you know, mixed up my pork choke, put my butts in there. So about 7 o'clock that night, pulled them out, injected them. 11 o'clock, they go on.
That's you got to work out your inspection times right. But if you can, that's not bad. And I think you probably even make up enough ground there that if you have to go on at midnight and run maybe 5, 10, 15 degrees hotter, you're still better off.
Yeah, and when I switched to my stick burner, you know, and I, for the record, I don't do that at every competition, you know,
yeah.
And because, like I said, I'm usually always testing something, trying something different or, you know, so, but with my stick burner, I mean, heck, I don't put it on until 3:30
yeah.
In the morning,
yeah.
So I just bought an extra 4 hours almost.
All right, couple things we got going in chat here. Craig Sherry says he wants one of those cool Cosmos hats. So maybe you guys can work out an offline deal for some rib candy for Cosmos Q apparel. The other thing, we got a rookie question in here, and you're going to be good with this, obviously, because it's the basis of your Moisture Magic product, and that is, what is a phosphate?
A phosphate... All a phosphate is designed for. It's odorless. It's virtually tasteless. You can over-inject it and put some off flavors in there,
yep.
Or turn it into, you know, stuff that you probably don't want. All it is for moisture retention. That's it.
Well, you know, and I'll be honest with you, when I don't know why we got away from it. Probably hadn't used it for all this year. I'll tell you what, just sitting down and talking to you for an hour, Darian, is going to make me figure out why we didn't do that well this year. But I was always a big fan of your phosphates. And I remember, I believe I got one of the first, I believe even before there was a label on it and it was in a bag like it is now, I was getting phosphates from you. Because me and you had a long talk about, hey, I found these phosphates. Well, and you're like, well, funny you called because, you know, we're about to come to market with this. Let me get you something to get you by. And what I found, man, is it's not much. If I'm going with the 3/4 cups of injection and I'm mixing it like you're saying on the pork or on the brisket, I'm going about, golly, probably somewhere an eighth of a cup. I mean, I'm almost really just because I'm really not trying to get in there and overpower with that. I just like that phosphate. Getting in there and doing a little bit of work, and
right.
you can tell a big difference.
Yeah, and you can immediately tell the difference in chicken. I mean, immediately. I've had it. I was cooking a Texas competition, and I set a half chicken on the table. And this is, it probably sat there for 45 minutes. And then we went to cut into it, and that thing just started leaking everywhere.
Yep.
And they were like, what? You know, and I'm like, well, I used the chicken soak, and then right when I pulled it out, I come right back behind it. I injected it with Moisture Magic, and I took chicken broth and ran it through a coffee strainer just to pull out anything that may be in there. And I just lit it up.
Well, and one of the things Craig brought up here in chat, which is I noticed this also, is when you're dissolving that Moisture Magic, most easiest to do with distilled water.
Yes. Yep. And it'll when you're done with it, you won't see nothing in there.
Yep. So that's a good point. It's not a Moody, it's not a dumb question for a rookie at all.
Right,
for sure.
And people need to know a phosphate isn't just, you know, there's like just, you know, one phosphate out there. There's not. There's several phosphates out there. We actually use a tri-poly blend, which is a mixture of three different phosphates that run the gamut.
Well, so there's another question here in chat. It's from Phil White. Phil says, you know, if you're using a product like Cosmos or Butcher's on the injection side, why would you want to add moisture magic or phosphates?
FDA regulates us from how much phosphates we can put into our product. I believe it's 10% per 10 pounds or something like that. I'd have to pull out my chart. But obviously, I just can't light it up, because I don't want somebody to crap their pants or whatever.
Yep.
So there's an FDA regulation. Now, what you do with it when you get it is, you know, completely different. How I do mine, I'll take my reserve blend, and I'll just put a tablespoon of it in there, just a little bit extra. Like I said, it's odorless, it's tasteless. All it's there for is added moisture retention.
Exactly. Craig Sherry just said, and trust me, too much phosphate is not a good thing. Less is better.
Yeah,
I speak from experience.
I have seen brisket that has actually, it looks like there's a rainbow on it, you know?
I'm going to tell you what and you may tell me. When we first started cooking, I used to screw around a lot with Tender Quick. And so, you know, I'd rub, you know, the top and the bottom of the brisket with Tender Quick, let it sit for, I used to like it to be like 8 to 10 minutes. Well, I get sidetracked one day. Somebody comes up to the trailer, we start talking. Next thing you know, man, it's like 17, 18, damn near 20 minutes by the time I wash this Tender Quick off. Man, we cooked a great brisket, and Darian, that thing was 95% smoke ring. There was smoke ring on the bottom and the top, and then, I kid you not, brother, there was a 3/4 inch brown across the middle. All the rest of it was smoke ring. It was like, are you kidding me? Dude, this brisket is awesome, and we're gonna put it in this box, and it's going to get crushed. And it did.
Yeah.
But it was great tasting brisket. It just looked really, really awkward. So I say that to go back to the less is more kind of deal being right on point.
Absolutely.
Oh man, good stuff, man. I always love getting you here in the show and talking. So let's go over to your competition season this year. You know, you're on that steak burner, that JP Custom, beautiful cooker. You know, how's it done for you this year? How was your contest season?
I'll tell you what, man. JP built an amazing pick. That thing, you know. I can't say enough good stuff about it. You know, it runs like a dream. If I need to get something done, JP put me a little microwave up there by the stack, and it is big enough to hold a full pan. And I tell you, man, you could turn chicken skin to nothing.
Really?
In a matter of, you know, minutes. It's a great cooker. He done an amazing job with a a lot of the watering jet or water jet stuff that he put on there. It really turns head. People, you know, look at it and they just love it. The only bad thing that I got it, not this last American Royal, but the one before. Now, I never cooked on it. That was the first time I went to the American Royal with no cooker. Like, a, you know, everybody thought I was just completely stupid. Cooked on it for the very first time at the American Royal Invitational, you know, and just couldn't say enough about it. Scott, a buddy of mine, we loaded biscuits all over that thing, and, you know, that's how I'll find the hot spots.
Yep.
I can find them fast.
Biscuit test is great
50,
for that.
Yeah, I probably had 50 briskets on there, and there wasn't four of them that were any different color. It was even all the way across. And, that you know, that's one thing I look for in a cooker, because when I set something down and I go put my head back down, I want to make sure, you know, I know what it's doing. I don't have to, you know, stand on top of it and babysit it.
No, absolutely. Well, and when you're paying the money you're paying for a cooker, you shouldn't have to do that, you know?
Yeah.
You know, if somebody's taken and put the, you know, the thought process into it, you know, it's just nice to work that way. So, you know, and that's one of those, without getting into the gory details of the price and this and that, but for what you're getting quality of cooker, you know, you're probably into it for significantly less than a Gear Pit or something like that. I mean, you know, JP's turned out a quality product, but at an affordable price. If you're that guy that just wants to cook on a stick burner, that's somebody you should have in your look at, I would believe.
Yeah, and that's, you know, that's one of the things that you can spend as much or as little as you like, you know.
Right.
Because JP can build you a, you know, $20,000 pit, no problem. You know, it's, you know, how deep do you want your pockets to get?
Right. Right. But for what you can get as far as a affordable, consistent contest cooker,
absolutely.
From a stick burner point of view, I think he's got one of the most customer friendly prices out there. And don't get me wrong, there's some good stick burner manufacturers that aren't Jambo. I mean, you got R&O that does a good job. You're starting to see much more of their pits. You've got the pit maker guys that do a good job, especially down in y'all's area of the world. And up in here in our area, we got Lang. I mean, you know, old Ben Lang. Ben Lang's been around a long time and sold a whole lot of stick burners. I know. I own one. And they're good cookers. So there's people out there. But I got to say, we got a question here in chat. He said, hey, can you give me more info on the JP custom smoke guy you're talking about? You know JP really well, Darren. You might kind of, hey, if we could dial him up, we would, but it's on short notice. Can you kind of give a bio on JP? Because the other thing I love about him is, man, the guy's a cook and a successful one.
Yeah, that's what JP, I mean, he obviously, you know, he goes out there and cooks these things, you know, week in and week out.
Yep.
Last time I talked to JP, I know he was completely swamped. I don't know if he's still building cookers for everybody. If you catch him at the right time, he'll dang sure build you a cooker. But his name is John Patty from Wichita, Kansas. And actually, you can look at him. He's got a website, jpcustomsmoke.com, I believe. He's got pictures of his cooker on there and all the different ones he's built. So him and Tina, his wife, are great people.
And that is a correct address, jpcustomsmoke.com. And I got to say, I mean, we I've learned a whole lot about the pit making business here over the last 6-8 months in working with my cousin on us designing our insulated smoker that we've now brought to the market. And I'll tell you what, man, there's something about, believe me, man, I'm just the barbecue cook behind it, because thank God that I do have a cousin that his family's been in the metal business for 30 years, you know, done huge projects all over the world. So I don't have to worry about the craftsmanship part of it. I know that's taken care of. Because, man, there's just a lot going into it. I bet we've been through state prototypes on the small one, the back porch, and two or three prototypes on the big one that we kind of have more for catering. But it'll definitely get you through a contest. Or if you're one of those guys that vends a contest, it's great. You know, when you can put 15 full pans in a cooker and you can cook brisket and butts on 15 pounds of fuel, that's not a bad day.
Yeah. No, that's a good day.
Yeah, and so that's kind of what we've been working on. But it's made me get so much more respect for these guys like JP and the folks out there that are building. You know, because we're trying to build, you know, the back porch, the competitor, and the granddaddy. That's just going to be our three products. And if somebody wants something customized, we can do it. You know, I mean, when you got six CNC machines and all the resources that we've got, you know, you can do some cool things. But when you talk to these guys like JP, that you and him probably sat down with a piece of paper and said, "Hey, man, I like this as a start, but here's what we got to change." Boom, 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 boom. And a guy can take that. That guy's not going to work through two or three prototypes. He's going to make that shit happen the first time.
And that's impressive. Funny you say that, because the pit that I had him make me was the first. I mean, on the outside it looks, you know, just like his pit, but on the inside, it's completely different. The way it draws, the way it feeds the heat and the smoke in there. There's no one on the market doing it right now, and even JP was like, "Darren, are you sure? That's a lot of money." And I said, "Yep, just build it exactly like this." And you know, after he seen that thing run, you know, I can literally put one log in there and it just sits there and hums, you know. And after JP seen it, he's like, "Okay, I'm sold, man. You know, I get it."
Absolutely. No, I mean, that is too cool. So you were happy with the 2012 season. You went out, you had a good time, you had some good calls. You look back on it, I mean, a good season for you?
Well, I didn't cook as much as I would like to. We had a lot going on here, obviously, with the company. We just built a new house, first new house in my family that
awesome,
I know
brother.
Of.
Congrats.
So that took up a lot of time. We cooked 10 competitions, I believe. No, it was more than that because there was a couple of Lone Star competitions. So we probably had about 12 or 14 competitions under our belt this year. We did well, you know. Obviously, I want to do better, but, you know, by the same token, you know, I'm not out there, and I know this sounds, you know, crazy. It in my head, I would rather show up, you know, and meet the guys using my product and talk to them and, you know, meet new friends that I'll have for the rest of my life. And that means more to me than actually winning the competition.
Yep.
You know. And I love the fact that when I go out there, these guys are ragging on me because they just, you know, whoop my butt with my own product.
Yeah.
You know, and that's great. You know,
that's good for business. Man. Hey, you want to buy some more? I'm here.
Yeah.
Man, I'm gonna tell you what, Darren. We got to do it. If you ever want to cook it, we're gonna take care of you. But if you ever want to just fly down here the last weekend of January, hang out with us here at Pig Fest. Go out, I'll tell you what, between 150 teams, you're going to meet a whole lot of folks that use your product. You're more than happy to throw on a Whiskey Bent shirt and hang out in camp with us for the weekend. You know, we just love to have you. And I think when you got down here and you saw that, the good thing about Pig Fest is, because it's at the end of January, that there's so many teams that come from kind of that southeast and even mid-Atlantic area, that you know, you get to see a lot of customers. And you get to hang out with some pretty cool cats.
Yeah. I keep saying, and I know I keep telling you I'm going to make it down there, but I will promise you I will make it down there sooner or later.
Hey, absolutely, brother. I'm going to hold you to it. On the company side, before we – I don't know if you heard about this guy that we're going to bring on here in a minute. This Joe Beelen character, Tippy Canoe Barbecue. Do you know anything about him?
I've heard his name mentioned once or twice.
I mean, I've heard he's decent. I heard he likes your product, so you know, I figured, hey, why not bring him on the show, right?
Yeah, yeah. He's one of the many that we sponsor. You know, we're just so blessed to have him on board with the Cosmo family. He's doing an amazing job at what he does. And, you know, I can't say enough nice things about him.
No. And that's everything I've heard about him in the barbecue industry. Just a really nice guy, obviously a great cook based on his results. And from what I hear from folks that go to his class, even a better teacher. So we're going to talk to him here in the second hour a little bit more about that. But two things I want to finish with you on, Darian, is first, without giving out too much, if there's anything there, can we maybe see a new product or two coming out from Cosmos Q in 2013?
This weekend I'll be testing.
Okay.
I got two of them that I'm looking at, I'll say. There's been a lot of people inquire about a chicken injection,
mm-hmm.
and that's one thing that and just to you know, be honest with you, I don't have one, you know, as far as a one single marketed product, but I always tell everybody, everything you need is right here.
Yep.
All you got to do is just stand back and look at the big picture,
yep.
and, you know, the chicken injection will appear.
Yep. All right, so you got two you're messing around with this weekend. My second one, and I want to hit on this for a minute or two, is talk to me a little bit about what you look for when it comes to sponsoring teams. We had a great segment last week with a guy named Lucas Hand out in Vegas. He comes from the off-road racing community. If you think our hobby's expensive, try again. That's a really expensive one. And like he says, really the only way you can survive is by good sponsors. But now, you know, and us, you know, let's just say off the top of the head, plus or minus a couple bucks, it's $1,000 cooking contest. If you really travel forward, it's more than that. But it's $1,000 cooking contest. I know, and I'm thankful because of our relationship and you sponsoring us, that takes a little bit of that load off of me. And thank you very much. I've always been very gracious for it. But what is it you look for in a team? And I'll tell you, you hooked up with us after our first Grand Championship, and we've only won three. So it wasn't like you got on board quick, but you saw something, and you said, hey, you know, these might be some good guys to line up with down in Florida.
Right.
What? Not specifically to us, but what is it aggregately? What do you look for?
Well, you know, there's so many variables. Obviously, you know, I wish, you know, I could sponsor a lot more, but, you know, just the cost involved.
Sure.
And it is very expensive. I mean, even, you know, because even the guys that I sponsor, Little Pig Town, Munchin' Hogs, you know, when they ask for something, you know, there's no BS.
Right.
You know, when I get back to the shop, it's in the mail, and I shoot it at them, you know. But what I look for is how well is that team going to represent Cosmos?
Yeah.
Because ultimately, you know, when it all boils down, it's a business transaction.
Yeah.
You know, I've had guys that I've gave products and that have never told anybody what they do, that would never fly a banner, that, you know, and if they're not going to promote us, then I don't care who it is.
Right.
I don't care if you're the number one cook in the nation. I'm not going to give you nothing. You know, and that's just being blunt. Because there's no value on my end.
Yep.
That's just you getting it for free. So I'm looking for a value from a business standpoint. Are you going to fly a banner? Are you going to put a sticker on your trailer? Are you going to, you know, put it on your shirt? Put it on your hat? Are you going to hand out business cards? Are you going to talk about it during, you know, when you have a barbecue class? Are you going to talk, and this is the biggest one for me. Are you going to talk about it to the guy that just started that doesn't know nothing about barbecue?
Yep. Yeah, and tell them, hey, bud, here's a shortcut. Here's something that's gonna take you from middle to bottom, to up in the area you want to be in. And that's a good point, because I feel good about, you know, we always fly our banner. We're doing a trailer rewrap early this year that's going to have – we're doing something pretty cool with Terry McKay over at Custom Signs and Graphics. And it's going to be something to where we kind of work all the sponsored logos into the wrap to where it's kind of got this cool vibe to it. But anyway – I've always felt like we kept up that end of the bargain, because I would bet at a contest with me and Jared there at least 30 times somebody's came up and said, hey, man, can I buy some Cosmos off of you? I forgot my stuff. I thought I had it in my trailer. I don't have anything. Or I have something and it's super old. I'd like something fresh. And you're like, dude, you ain't got to buy it from me. What are you cooking? Yeah. One or two briskets? Well, I'm cooking.
Give it to him.
Yeah, I'm cooking two briskets. All right, bro. Here's my cup that I use to measure mine. Dump it in there, put it in a baggie for him, and hand it to him. Well, no, man, yep. you didn't have to do that. Hey, look, just go over to Darian's site or go over to thebarbecuesuperstore.com and buy some there. You know, and that's how you give it back. And because I know you, when I say, hey, Darian, no offense, I had to give away the majority of my bag because, you know, guys were wanting it. You're going to go, okay, cool. I get it. But these are guys also that I know from knowing them that they are there. They use the products. And also, you've got to know, Darian, with running your site, and yes, you have other outlets, but you got to keep an eye on, all right, well, I just brought these boys from Florida on. Let me see if my Florida sales tick up.
Yes, and that's one thing I look at is the Google –
Analytics.
I look at that. I see, you know, anytime somebody touches my website, you know, I see, you know, where it's coming from. You know, am I getting the most bang for my buck? You know, and not to pick on you, but, you know, I do look, you know, I'm, you know, doing all this in Florida. Am I getting sales in Florida? Yes, I am. Okay.
Yep.
It's paying off.
Yep.
And that's what I look for.
No, and honestly, if you're not doing that, you're not running your business correctly.
Right, and you know, because at the end of the day, you know, you got to realize it is a business. It's, you know, you don't want to hurt nobody's feelings, but obviously, you know, if I sponsored the entire country, then
at that point in time, it's a non-profit charity. Darian.
It's not
a business at that point, brother.
Yeah, and then it turns into me going out of business pretty quick.
Yeah, next thing you know, that's more of an Operation Barbecue relief effort than a Cosmos Q effort. So, no,
yeah,
but
yeah.
I appreciate your insights on that, because it's interesting. It's something that I think teams want to know, and it may be something when we have you know, back on the – maybe what we need to do is have you, Craig Sherry – maybe one or two other manufacturers come on and just do a kind of a sponsorship roundtable for about 45 minutes and just talk a little bit more and dig more into this, because it's something that as we grow, there's more opportunity for, more guys want to be a part of, but at the same time too, they have to understand the limitations, and maybe I can get my credit union guy, the CEO of the credit union that signed us, our first sponsor ever, to come on and kind of give a non-barbecue take on it and just get a nice round table together so folks can understand, you know, what you're looking for, you know?
Right. Because it's, you know, when you go to sponsor a team and I just throw a number out there, I mean, that's $500.
Yep.
That's $500 that you're hoping to recoup.
And Darian, that's your cost, not retail.
Right.
It's costing you $500. To send me products, to send Ron McGee products, to send Little Big Town products, to send Tippy products. Well, next thing you know, if you're doing that with 6, 7, 8 teams, you're $5,000 in the hole at your cost.
Yeah.
Which means you're giving up retail sales of obviously some number above that. So I mean,
right.
It's a decision, bro.
Yeah, and it's, you know, it's one that, you know, I don't take lightly, because I mean I hold it, you know, this business very, you know, it's very personal to me, you know, and I've built this thing from, you know, 200-pound boxes to, you know, a couple thousand pounds a month.
Yep.
You know, so that's just, you know, one aspect we look at. Obviously, you know, with your little pig towns, Tippy, Munching Hogs, I mean, Lotta Bull, InnoServe,
yep.
Brandon Lockhart from Texas, with, you know, it doesn't hurt to have these guys, you know, Jeff
no.
Brinker. I mean, these guys, you know, they're out, you know, these are the guys doing the work, you know.
Yep, yep.
Obviously, I can't be everywhere at once.
Sure.
You know, but when you got Munching Hogs, you know, running for his third, hopefully, team of the year
yep.
in three straight years, that's huge.
It's kind of a big deal. Yeah. No, absolutely. Absolutely, brother. Well, dude, hey, Darian, as we always do, went over by a couple of minutes. I'm cutting into Joe's time. But I want to tell you now, I'm going to put you on the spot for a second. Just a real quick second.
All right.
You talked about this new badass website you got, right?
Mm-hmm.
And how it allows you to do some things.
Right.
What's the chance it'll allow you to give these listeners a coupon code for the next 24, 48 hours?
Well, it's funny you say that. I do have that ability on there, and I tell you what, if let me get off of here, and if I can get it to actually work, because I've never actually seen it work, but
okay.
if it does, let's just say the next 24 hours from right now, 20% off.
Excellent. Excellent. There you go, guys. When you come in the pit, you either got to drop a secret or a discount. Darian's. And I'll tell you what, Darian, you know, obviously I'm on the air for another hour. Just Facebook message me if you get it to work. And
it should work. We'll just keep the code just probably like 99% of everybody's alarm or garage code. We'll just throw it in there, and I'm going to shoot for 123456.
123456. That's the code. 24 hours, guys. Go over to Cosmos Q and get your products. If I was going to give you a short list, if I with 20% off, if you've never tried Darian's stuff, I'll tell you exactly what I would do. I would go get the Cosmos Q sampler pack. Regular price, $22.50. I'd go get the Cosmos Q rub combo pack. $35. You're going to get 5 shakers of rub, 2 soaks, 2 injections for under $50 with a 20% discount. You're crazy if you don't go do that, guys. That would be exactly where I went. It may even be under $45. That's a hell of a deal.
I'm actually trying to put it in right now as we speak. Let me see if I can get it to work for you, brother. We'll just say percentage off product at 20. All right, it looks like it's going.
All right, guys, discount code 123456, 20% off the next 24 hours at Cosmos Q. Go get on it. I know there's a couple hundred of you folks out there listening right now. Go get on that. You're not going to regret it. My personal recommendation is under $50, probably $50 when you add in shipping, get the Cosmos Q sampler pack on the soaks and injections. You're going to get a beef injection, a pork injection, a chicken soak, a pork soak, half-pound bags, and then go over there and get that Cosmos Q rub combo pack. You're going to get the 5 big ones, the Killer Bee, the Chipotle, the Dirty Bird, the Cow Cover, and the Texas Beef, which next time I have you on, Darian, we got to talk about because I love that stuff, man. It's on every one of my steaks that I ever cook. It is Texas Beef is one of those that – When you screw around and combine it with the Cow Cover on a competition brisket, and let's say maybe that Texas Beef goes through a little bit of a coffee grinder, killer, killer, killer taste. So
and just to throw this out there, if anybody's wanting to, you know, think about, you know, the chicken injection, that happens to be one of the little secrets. The Texas Beef. The moisture magic with a little bit of the reserve blend will go a long way.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Darren, man, I can't thank you enough, brother. You've always been a dear friend of mine. You've always been great to us. Love you, man, and thanks for coming on the show. And we'll once again, every 2-3 months, man, we always rise you back up and have a damn good time.
Well, Chad, I appreciate what you guys do, and thank you very much, and thanks for having me on. And tell Joe I said hi, and tell Craig hit me up, and we'll see if we can't get something worked out.
Excellent. And by the way, am I going to be a happy man today or tomorrow when the USPS lady comes?
It will probably more likely be tomorrow.
Okay.
Possibly the day after with Cyber Monday going on.
Absolutely.
I don't know.
Hey,
but it's locked, loaded, and out the door.
But hey, I got a little ribbon chicken thing I'm doing here in town on Saturday, and I'll tell you right now, I'm pork soaking my ribs, I'm chicken soaking my chicken, and you might just go out and win that thing. Who knows?
Hey, let her rip, Tater Chip.
All right, brother. Hey, take care, Darian.
All right, we'll see you, Chad.
Yes, sir. Have a good evening. Bye bye.
You too.
All right, guys, one of my favorites, man. Kick-ass guy all the time when he comes on the show. Darian from over there at Cosmos Q. Real quick, I'm actually not going to hit on any sponsor check between guests because, you know, when you bring in a top-quality guy like Joe Biedlin and you go on 15 minutes late, he's probably not a happy camper. So, Joe, maybe, hold on. He's only been on hold 19 minutes. Let's see. Joe, you there?
Hey, Chad, how are you doing tonight?
Hey, brother, I'm so sorry about my punctuality. You can tell, man, I'm a talker by nature. I get on with a dear friend like Darian, man, and it goes a little long. So I apologize for keeping you on hold.
No problem at all. That guy's a good dude. They don't make him any better than Darian. I tell you, to go on there tonight, and the discount thing there at the end, that's a home run. That's pretty cool. That's Darian's style, though. He knows how to roll, so that's pretty cool.
Well, you know, it was one of those things. If he balked, when Craig Sherry comes in the pit, Craig always offers up a discount, just what he does. So I didn't think Darian would balk at all, but if he did, I was going to have to pull the Texas Pepper Jelly card. And say,
I love it.
And say, just, hey, bro, look, when Craig comes in the pit, he just does this thing. So, but now, because Darian went 20%, the next time Craig comes on, he's going to have to up his game a little bit, because I think the highest Craig's offered is 15. And that's not bad. And that's still a great deal just for listening to an old internet radio hack. I think, Craig, you better come prepared for 20% next time you come in the pit, brother. I'm just telling you. But we love you. We always like having you there. So, Joe, thanks for coming on the show tonight. You know, for people that haven't, you know, I've heard you a couple times on Greg Grimpy's show over there on the Outdoor Cooking Channel, 9 o'clock tonight. You know, always good. I believe you guys are queuing up a show for next week, which is going to be pretty awesome. He was telling me going to have Scott from Pigskin, yourself, and then Ryan from Big T's, and going to kind of be roundtabling the whole thing that Sterling's putting on out west. That's going to be definitely a show to listen to.
You bet. Looking forward to that as well.
All right. So Joe, real quick. I mean, obviously we could go down your list of accolades, but that would, I'm already 15 minutes behind. That put me another 20. But some of the things that stand out to me are 2011. Probably, I would say you have to say by far your best year in barbecue. And to me, like I said on the show intro, maybe one of the best years for a person that just cooks one single sanctioning body. You know, people talk about Melissa having great years, Myron having great years, but that's across sanctioning bodies. To win the American Royal Invitational and the Sam's Club National, what a year. I mean, was it just one of those things that when you showed up at contests in 2011, it just seemed like you just had it going on, everything kind of flowed quickly?
Yeah, it became that way. It didn't start that way. We started the year in 2011, you know, rolling pretty well and finishing pretty consistently in the top three. We kind of hit our, and we did it this summer as well. I got to figure out how to cook in July and August, because so far I'm about 0 for those 2 months. So we hit that patch middle of the year in 2011, and And we weren't cooking a lot. We had a lot of stuff going on with family and stuff like that at home. So we had kind of focused on, you know, we were going to chase the Sam's money. We were going to chase some bigger payouts. And we were skipping some hometown locals contests that we'd like to do. But we weren't going to those, and we were traveling a little further, prioritizing a little bit and cooking once or twice a month. We only cooked 12 points contests in 2011. So when you're only cooking twice a month and then you hit the skids for a couple of those, things get a little rough. And so I can point right to the date and tell you when it all turned around. We were at the Sam's Club Regional in Indianapolis, and we were next to, it was my wife and my two little boys and I, and we were right next to Ryan and Sonia from Big T's, and we kind of spent the weekend cooking. We cooked really well, had a long talk, Ryan and I did, that evening and that next day, about kind of maybe what I was doing wrong and what was happening, and we shared a few secrets back and forth. We've kind of always been friends and talked a lot, but not a lot about you know, kind of some specifics, and we shared some stuff back and forth that weekend, and it kind of clicked a few things for me, and we made a couple of small changes, specifically the chicken, as it had been really killing us, and we helped him out on a couple things as well, and that kind of, it really changed things for us. From that point forward, we won 4 contests in a row, 2 leading up to the American Royal and the Sam's Club. So that's a pretty good 4 contest run. Obviously, when things are clicking like that, they just, it feels good. So that obviously started a couple of good things. It created some success for us that we knew we could achieve. We were just kind of missing out on, and then started this partnership between Ryan and I that has kind of grown into this monster now with classes and everything else we've got going.
Well, yeah, and I want to talk about that in a second. One of the things I also want to bring out is, you know, let's look at Sam's Club this year. And for us folks that aren't from Iowa, look at it. 7 of the top 10 teams came from the state of Iowa. And I know that's something, if y'all aren't talking shit about that at every big contest, guys, you're missing out. Because you should, Joe. That's pretty impressive for a state to show up. And Iowa's always been a great barbecue state. Don't get me wrong, on the competition side. You guys always have a dog in the fight. But that had to be something that you guys as statesmen had to be proud of, correct?
Absolutely. That's something that, started, I think, and I'll give him the credit. He won't take it if you talk to him. But Darren Worth, Iowa Smoky D's, he started this thing, this excellence in Iowa, and this, you know, he was there before I even knew how to cook. He was winning contests, and he reminds me of that every now and again. But he started that, and I've told him, I've told other people that, you know, that when we first started this, getting my ass run over by Iowa Smoky D's every weekend, I got old really fast.
Yeah, exactly.
And it was either get better or go home. I'm too competitive to sit here and get my butt kicked every weekend. So either learn to cook or go home, and that's what it was for us. And that was he started this thing, and it's because of the way he cooked. He created, I think anyway, this culture of learning
and get better. Yeah. And I'll tell you what, man, I watched Darren show up here, and it – for us Florida boys, it was cold. Pig Fest, I believe it was 2-3 years ago. At least 2, probably 3. You know, he had made a deal on the Brethren or found somebody that brought him like 2 WSMs, a 10x10, a Cambro, and like a table.
Yep.
I mean, it was the minimalist setup you have seen. You know, old boy gets off the plane, goes, gets his meat, shows up, he's like in flip-flops. You know, jeans and a short sleeve shirt. To us, it's cold as hell. It's like, you know, 38, 40 degrees. He's walking around, and I'm like, dude, who's this guy? And I was talking to Rub, and Rub goes, he goes, you'll know about him by the end of Saturday. He goes, this guy's name's Darren Worth. He's like from, you know, Iowa Smoky D's. I'm like, well, yeah, I mean, I've heard the name. And he didn't win it, but I mean, he was strong. Like 3, you know, in an 80 team field from all over the country, you know, 3 top 10 calls and like a top 5 overall. And it was like, damn, man, coming out here with really nothing, just the clothes on his back, bought meat, probably, you know, had his spices and knives in his check luggage, and just came out there on borrowed equipment and made it happen. And there's something to be said about that. I mean, when you're a cook, you're a cook. You know,
yep.
And it doesn't matter what environment you put them in. If you can cook good barbecue, you can cook good barbecue. I've always said that about Rub Bagby and Jimmy Brode. You could take those guys and put them over a fire pit, and they'll turn something out that's going to be in the top half of the class every time.
Yep, exactly. That's all right. Stuff to compete with.
Yeah, it's got to be, man. You go back and look through you guys' local contest where y'all just go in there and just beat up on each other, and it's like, dude, the 11th place guy, the 15th place guy could win any contest he shows up at. It's one of those things too that you rise or fall to the level of your competition. And if you guys are beating up on each other like that all year, and then you go to a big national event like the Royal, like Sam's, like the Jack, obviously that constantly having to rise your game pays off.
Yep, absolutely. And you know, I'll throw in, we joke with the Shiggin' and Grinning guys out of Minnesota, that they're Iowans. They just happen to live in Minneapolis right now. But they're that same way. You know, you look at Lucky's Q on the Sands, Big Skin won the Jack, the Royal Open was Shiggin' and Grinning. We see those guys every weekend. We're all at the same contest,
yep.
Weekend after weekend, and there's no better training ground for those big contests than getting to go up against that every weekend. And it's in July, I'll tell you, I hate it. It's frustrating. So I'll get out to go to a contest and pull up and see those five guys sit there and think, oh, here we go. You know, gonna have to win a Royal just to win this 25 team contest, you know, down the street. So but it definitely is an advantage come playoff season in October.
Absolutely. So let's talk a little bit about, you know, obviously you gave us a little bit of the background on how you and Ryan got kind of hooked up with doing the classes, but you know, obviously, you know, Joe, when you had the success you had last year, and if you go and look at Ryan Big T's, you know, once again, I mean, another guy that's always in the mix. What made you guys say? Because there's a conscious decision there, right? You can sit there and go, well, hey, maybe we're onto something. Maybe we keep, you know, this between us, and maybe we just go see if we can, you know, rock it out next year in 2012. Or, hey, let's monetize it a little bit. You know, help some teams out. And that's the thing I always feel about cooking classes is, does it help the teacher? Absolutely. If you do it well and you do two or three classes a year, you can bankroll your whole competition barbecue living and maybe put a little bit of money in your pocket. But at least it feels a lot better going into a contest feeling like you're on a pretty close to being free roll. But you know, at the same time, you guys deserve that. You've put together the results, you put in the time, you put in the effort, and to take the learning curve off, I mean, it's a win-win situation. You're putting some money in your pocket, taking care of competition cost, but at the same time, you're taking this guy that maybe has only cooked one or two contests, and if you can put him in the top 10 in two or three categories, in the top 10 overall, with really no competition experience, well, he's cut cost by shit. 10, 15 grand?
Yep.
You know?
Yep, it's the best deal out there, I think. And you know what, when after we won the Sam's Club event, we actually hung around that evening. I wasn't going anywhere after the celebration,
no.
If you know what I'm saying.
Yep.
So there was no driving allowed. So we were gonna hang around, and actually the guys from Chicken and Grinning were there, and Ryan and Smoking Hills, Cheryl and Lauren.
But before we get too deep, Joe, there have been some drinking involved, which I like. What's the Joe Beeland Sam's Club National Champion celebration drink of choice?
Jägermeister.
Whoa, going back to those college days, son.
Yeah, I tell you what, it got to the point where we were out of Red Bull for the Jäger bombs. But we had plenty of beer and Sprite and champagne, and so that was I'll tell you, Jaeger's not quite as good with Miller Lite as the chaser, but it works.
Good deal. All right, brother, get back to it. I had to know the drink of choice.
Yeah.
But, so you guys are hanging around late, you know, had some cocktails and just chit-chat.
Exactly, just kind of hanging out. And this was, you know, 2 weeks, obviously, in between the Royal and the Sams. And I got a few suggestions that evening of, you know, hey, what are you going to do with classes? You know they're going to be asking something you want to do. And that night, I'd have told you, no way. You know, we had a 15-hour drive home to think about it. Over the next month, I got a lot of emails, questions, support from friends and family and people I know in the barbecue world, you know, kind of saying, hey, go for it. It's just exactly what you said. It's certainly a trade-off. You got to share what you're doing. But at the same time, this is a dream of mine to make this into something more than just a hobby long term, and this is one of the ways, one of the fastest ways to do that. And so bankroll 2012, where we knew we wanted to kind of prove we weren't the flash in the pan, we weren't the one-hit wonder who, you know, cooked really well over a three-week period and won a couple of big contests. We wanted to prove we could do it for real, and this was a way to finance that operation. So to be real honest with you, I kind of duped Ryan into it. I spent a lot of time talking to him, picking his brain about what he would do and what that would look like, and he kept encouraging me to go for it. And at the end of the day, I said, "All right, Ryan, you've convinced me I should do this. Now here's the catch: I'm not doing it alone. We're going to do this. So let's do it together." But he gave it a lot of thought, and I know he went back and forth and spent a lot of time thinking about that as well. And at the end of the day, we formed this partnership to make this happen. And it's, you said it earlier, it's made us both, I'll speak for Ryan, I think I can, it made us both better cooks. There's just, it's so much fun to do these classes and to teach, but it's also, we get a ton out of it. I learned so much about cooking barbecue, and we have two totally different approaches. And when we talk about classes, I'll fill you in a little bit more on that, but it's, Ryan's much more of the scientist, and I'm much more of the abstract, hey, I think that looks pretty good, let's try that, kind of experimenter. So you put those two styles together, and it made for some pretty cool stuff. And you know, the other thing I'll say about classes, and I know I've heard other people teach classes talk about it, they don't like it when students beat them. It doesn't bother me. It's not something that, Ryan and I have had this conversation a bunch. The best of the best out there win about a third of the time, statistically.
Yep.
You know, the munching hogs of the world, the
pigskins.
Yep. They're winning about a third of the time. You can't win them all, so if I can't win, there's nothing better than watching somebody that I know is using some of my techniques that I help teach up there, getting their first grand championship or taking that trophy home. And we saw some of that this year. We had a team that never took the KCBS contest win a grand championship this year after taking our class. So that kind of thing is fun.
Dude, it's one of those things, and we've talked about it on the show a couple of times, is, you know, Rob Bagby, his first class he ever taught, Swamp Boys, I'm sure you ran across him at some of the national events. Rob's a hell of a cook. His first competition class he ever did it right there in Live Oak, Florida. We did some things to get into the contest the next weekend that had been sold out for 6 months, but, you know, when you're innovative, things happen. We got in there and won the contest by 10 points. And there was only one person happier that day than us, and that was him. Man, it was to sit there, he goes, I told you guys, y'all were a top 10 team, y'all were around it, you just needed that something. You know, he goes, and I'm not saying that I handed it all to you, but you just needed to hear that other side of the coin. You needed to think about it. You needed to, and that's the thing. And Mike Richter, you know Mike, Chick Swan and Bovine. You know, Mike always equates it to, and it's one of the first things. One of the only guests I ever carried two full hours was Mike Richter. And we still almost ran out of time. But Mike's thing was, he said, Chad, I look at it like I do a career. When you're spending this much money to do something, he goes, it's continuing education. When I was in the prison system, I didn't say, look, just because I've been in it for 20 years, and I mean outside the prison system, run the prison system, folks, not in. He said, I still went to seminars. I still went to conferences, you know, those type of things. Because even though I'm a professional and I've been in it years and years and years, I'm going to learn something. And I think it's at the point, you know, we've taken Rub's class. We've taken Danny Kugel's online class, which I think is a – there's a certain – that whole online class thing, there's a certain cool dynamic to it over there, you know, kind of at Pitbulls Up in Smoke. Sure. And I'll tell you what, I've looked at your dates, and we're going to talk about them here in a second. You'll probably see my Florida ass freezing in March out of your place. Because at that point, when you know how to cook barbecue, and even if you want a couple, you're just trying to pick up on those things of, this is what I'm doing. Oh, that's what they're doing. Oh, that's different. That's neat. I'm gonna take note of that, you know? And I look at it like Mike Richter does. It's just continuing education. And for if it cost me $750 and a plane ticket, that's about what it would cook me to cook a traveling, quote-unquote, contest, something outside the state of Florida. And, yes, I'm not going to hear my name called that day, but there's a very good chance I'm going to hear my name called 2, 3, 4 times the next time or the next 2 times we go out. And that's where the payoff is. We always said when we took Grubbs' class, it paid for itself by our pork call and our forced contest afterwards.
Yep, and that's Ryan and I's goal as well. As we go into this thing, you know, is we're going to give up everything. We're going to show you exactly what we believe in and what we do. We can show you how they relate to different pits. That's one of the things I think that our class offers is, you know, he's cooking the same recipes I am. He's cooking them on the Jambo. I'm cooking them on a Backwoods. He used to cook on bullets, so we have the timelines, we have the plans, and the recipes, the techniques are adjustable to all of those things. And so many times, it's one or two or three things. I hear from cooks that took our class last winter that were darn good cooks going in. Don't get me wrong; they in some cases, I don't know if they needed our help, but I hear from this summer, and they'll say, you know, here's what I really picked up. I'm starting to do this, and it's one thing on the entire rib category. It's one small thing, and they said, you know what, that made a difference. That's the difference between middle of the pack and the top 10 every weekend, is that. Those little things that amaze me. So that's kind of fun to hear those stories.
No, absolutely. And it's one of those things, too, I think people don't realize is when you buy a class like that, contractually, all you're obligated to Joe and Ryan is that weekend, you know, but there you have a vested interest in your students being successful. So if you've got a guy that's struggling and he walks by you to a contest at you know, Friday afternoon, 4 o'clock, hey, Joe, you got a second? Man, you know, I've been doing what you taught me, but man, you know, chicken's just missing for me. Well, all right, walk me through what you're doing. And you're going to sit there, you're going to talk to them, you're going to listen to them, you're going to go, well, you know, maybe you want to tweak this. Maybe you didn't pick up on what we were saying. You should, you know what I'm saying? It's that kind of consultative advantage that you also buy with a class. And let's say it's somebody like me that's in Florida. I'm probably only going to run into you 1 or 2 times a year. But it's one of those things, if we're struggling, I can drop you an email and go, Joe, class was great, loved it. I've came back and test cooked ribs 3 times, and they're still not the level that you served. Here's what I'm cooking on. Here's what I'm doing. Can you tell me something? And I've followed you guys enough to know you are the kind of folks that go, you know, this is a guy that took our class. He's a student. I'm going to try to point him in the right direction. You know what I'm saying?
And absolutely.
And that's the thing. I mean, believe me, in buying Danny's class, you know, I've called Danny at the drop of the hat and talked about things. Attending Rub's class, I've talked to Rub about it. And that's kind of just part of what our community is. You know, when you said, hey, I want to be a part of this, I want your tutelage, there's never a guy that's just said, you know what, screw it. I did your weekend, I'm done. If you want to know more, come the next weekend. That's just not how we operate.
Right, exactly. And that's part of the fun of it. That's what Friday night at a contest is for, in my mind. And we spent a lot of time, and I pick things up talking to people as well. just the, you know, subtle things that you hear people talk about, but we definitely do that, and I love to do that. That's part of the class. Ryan and I talk about that on the last day of our class, that, you know, this doesn't end today. This is the beginning in a lot of cases, and it's perfectly okay. In fact, we want you to come see us at a contest or pick up the phone or like I said, the keyboard and pound out an email, let us know what's happening, and we'd love to help you. So that's certainly a part of what we do.
Very cool. So, Joe, let's step all the way back for a second.
Sure.
Give us a little bit of your background personally. Like what kind of profession are you in? And what led you to Competition Barbecue? And around what time period?
Sure. Yep. No, I'm a regional insurance vice president for a large commercial ag lending institution here in the Midwest. So, chances are if you live in rural Iowa, you're involved in agriculture in some way. That's what my day job is. I travel quite a bit between locations that I have people in and those kind of things. So it's a challenge sometimes during the week. A couple of benefits. I tell people it leads me past a Sam's Club almost every day.
living in
the middle of nowhere, sometimes that's hard to do. So that helps. I get to travel and see a bunch of butchers and Sam's Clubs, so that's always good. But also gives me some flexibility. I've got time I've got a great company I work for that allows me to take 30 Fridays a year off and do some of those crazy things that we do. So that's really great. But I started cooking about I suppose it's going on close to 10 years ago now. We did the thing everybody in the neighborhood was doing, bought a camper. First weekend out at the campground, all set up, ready to go, and about an hour of sitting around staring at each other, I thought, well, this isn't going to last. I can't do this all weekend. This is really boring. So we actually, kind of a fate thing, at the campground that weekend was a competition team from the same area, Farm Boy Barbecue, makes a great sauce. You ever heard of that?
You dropped that sauce name on Rimpy's show one time.
Yep.
We bought it. We cut it in the next KCBS contest we cooked. Remarkable differences.
Yep. It is great stuff. It's relatively unknown, maybe a little hard to get, but
yeah.
Do a little searching on the internet. You'll come up with it. Yep. Get your hands on some. He's a really great guy. He was at the campground that weekend cooking away. Was doing some catering for somebody that was there at the campground. And so we wandered over and kind of made the acquaintance and got a little free barbecue that day. And thought, that's something I can do. That seems like a good guy and something that would be kind of fun. Maybe I'd pass the time camping, cooking. So, I ran the big box store and bought one of these $120, offset little thing. Exactly. And we made some pretty good food the next weekend, and my wife would tell you I'm a little all in kind of guy. I'm either all in or all out, and I was hooked. We cooked pork that first weekend. I thought, this is fun, and I like getting compliments, and it's kind of nice. And we got to feed some people at the campground. Everybody liked it. And I think about 3 weeks later, I had a backwoods party sitting at the house, and was $2,000 into this thing in about 3 weeks, and it's kind of been a crazy run after that. We actually started, we cooked a little local backyard contest, and almost on a bet with some buddies of mine that said, you should cook that. It's really good. Well, what you do, and I thought, everybody likes free food, it's not that big a deal, but we entered, they said, well, if you do well here, you have to do a real contest, you have to do a KCBS contest, so we entered, long story longer, we won that backyard contest that day, and 2 weeks later, we were cooking a KCBS contest in Wisconsin, so it has definitely exploded from there.
That's very cool, and so that was about, 2003, 2004?
Yep, when we started cooking, that would have been there. We didn't do that first KCBS contest until the fall of 2008.
Oh, wow.
I had cooked a long time at home, just like I said, messing around in the campground and feeding friends and doing those kind of things. But to be honest, and if anybody's out there listening tonight, I was a little intimidated to do that first one. I'm a competitive guy. I don't want to lose. I don't want to go out there. And man, do I wish I had started long before I did. But at the end, it worked out, I guess. But definitely, if you're out there listening, wondering if you should jump in or not, just do it. You'll be welcome with open arms, and you'll never look back.
No, well yeah, I totally agree. And it's one of those things that, you know, people that aren't part of the community, it's hard to understand it. Man, we only compete those 2 hours returning in boxes. And even then, Joe, if you walk over to me and go, Chad, man, I totally forgot Q-tips to clean my box up. Dude, if I got a box of Q-tips, you take a handful of them, go. You know what I'm saying? It's one of those things that we want to beat each other at everybody's, you know, optimum game. You know, that's just the way to do it.
Yep. Yep, absolutely. And that's what makes it fun. That's, like I said, that's why we do these contests. I looked at myself a couple times this summer. You know, sitting there, it's 105 degrees, and you're sitting at the tailgate on a Friday night going, man, I could be a lot of places, and I'm in a parking lot, you know. What am I doing here? And about that time, somebody come over and strike up a conversation, and, you know, 3 or 4 hours go by, and that's what it's about. So.
No, I totally agree. So,
but
so
it's hard to enjoy if you don't do well. That's a big part of why we teach classes, and that's
exactly
a big part of the people who show up. They say, I love doing this, but I got to get better. I got to stop because it's expensive, and I'm not doing well, and the wife gets upset. And great, come on in. Come see us. We'll help you.
So, first off, let's talk about the 2012 cooking schools you guys did. You know, you guys did what? 3 or 4?
We did 3 in 2012.
Now, one of them you did with a guy that I know, he knows a guy, that Steve Zara fella up there in the Northeast. You know, you got to watch that guy. I mean, did y'all have to kick back to the mob on that deal, or was it all straight?
Yeah, no, it was all straight. Steve's a great guy.
You guys that don't know, me and Slednick go back a long way. This year, I cooked Rhode Island. Slednick hooked me up with everything. We go back a ways. We kind of met through Jimmy Brode and Slednick, you know, / Steve Zara, awesome dude. But I had to bust Tippy's chops a little bit about it. Just because Steve's that guy. You meet him and you're like, you know, you've met him on the Brethren and this and that. And the first time you meet him, you're like, no, dude, this guy looks like a New York City, you know, Italian guy that could inflict some hurt if need be. You know what I'm saying?
And he's not a little dude either. And
no, that's what I'm saying.
Like
Yep. And every time you ask him, you're like, hey, can we do this? Well, I know a guy. You're like, oh,
yep.
Dude, Rhode Island is only so big, and you've told me you know 27 guys already. I mean, we already narrowed down half the population here.
Exactly.
But man, I will tell you what, Steve, son of a gun, didn't tell me one tip in the class that he learned, but he just raved about how good a job you and Ryan did.
Oh, God. Well, I appreciate that. I tell you what, he helped us out a bunch. You know, obviously we did the 2 classes here locally in Iowa last year, and we had been in touch with him. Just the same deal as what you're talking about. Of, hey, I got the cookers. I got what you need. Come do a class out here, and I'll help support you in any way I can. And he set us up. Certainly, it wouldn't have been possible without his help there to go out there and do that. And it was fun to get into an area, you know, kind of outside of our home base. Obviously, you know, we cook all over the country, but primarily, especially in the summertime, you know, we're right here in the 3 or 4 state area. So it was nice to get out there. And then this summer, we had a lot of fun watching results, you know, from the folks who were at that contest and to see how things were working out east. We've learned some things. I think we ever have to go cook out east, we learned some things about what adjustments to make. So that was kind of fun.
No, well, and that's a good point. And that's one of those things we're running tight on time. I, you know, and that's one of the things that you find. I mean, we've been fortunate enough over the last 3 years to cook from Florida to Rhode Island to Vegas to Kansas City, you know, and kind of everything in between. And is there a difference? Yes. People told us when we went to the Royal, you think your Florida sauce is sweet. It's not sweet enough. Dude, it's kind of sickening. Well, yeah. When you go 125 out of 128 at the Invitational, you probably go, you know what? I'm going to listen to you guys tomorrow. We're going to go buy every piece of sugar in the raw, agave nectar, maple syrup, anything that has a sweetening agent, we're going and we're getting it. And you know what? Took our base sauce, sweetened it up, as the boys had told us, and go 33rd out of 480 the next day.
Yep.
But that's what I love about invitationals and opens, especially if you're traveling, is, you know, if it's an area you don't know, would you like to, people always say, and I know Rimpy's asked you this, you won the invitational, would you rather win the invitational or the open? Anytime I have a chance, I'd rather win an invitational contest. Because that tells me I'm cooking not only against my best peers out there, but the best judges. If you're doing a Sam's Club or a Best of the Best or an American Royal Invitational, dude, there's nobody that's judging the American Royal Invitational as their first contest.
Right.
Those are all master judges. Those are guys that's a big deal, you know?
Yep, absolutely. And that's the difference. That's why I think that makes the Sam's Club final so special, I guess if you want to call it that. But they've got the teams narrowed down to the point where they can almost literally handpick judges. So it's there's still obviously human human error or the human component, but it's the best of the best from a judging perspective sitting at that table, or at least the most experienced. I guess we can all argue about what's the best. But
all right, two last things, Joe, and then we'll wrap up. First one is, have you ever cooked any Ronnie Cates events, Smoke on the Water Productions?
Yes, yep. We cooked Little Rock in 2009, and we cooked Vegas the first time around.
The Orleans?
Yes.
Yes. All right, so Ronnie's asking now over there on Facebook, and you guys, if you want to, go over there on Facebook, Smoke on the Water Productions, and it's a great question. I don't know if you've seen it today or not, Joe, but it pretty much says, hey, it's costing us a ton for infrastructure at venues, electrical-wise. And this comes off a conversation that me and Ronnie and Stacy had 2 or 3 weeks ago on the show. And my thoughts were, hey, look, if a guy's pulling up in a $500,000 RV and is demanding 50-amp power, he should have enough money to run a $2,000 generator for 2 days.
Right.
So my answer to that is, put the money towards the prize money, and if people need power, let them care for themselves. Now, the one thing I would like to see, and it's kind of, I got to call into Ronnie to see if you could work it this way, is say, look, everybody gets 20-amp power. Or if you want 20-amp power, here's what it's going to cost, $50. Because for me, I'm going to go cook both Laughlin events. I'm going to fly in. So the option of bringing a generator is not there. But, hey, for $50, you get 20-amp power. Perfect. That runs my pellet grills. It runs a couple other little bullshit things I've got. Done. But do you agree with me there? I mean, you cook on a backwoods. You don't need a bunch of power. I mean, I would say, If those guys want to come over and damn, land yachts, they should at least be able to pay for the fuel to run them.
Yeah, but that's, that was my initial reaction as well, was up the prize money. Especially, I had no concept of what these generators cost till a couple of years ago. Ryan put on a contest and I was working with the city, and I think they wanted $5,000 for one of those little generators on wheels, rental for the weekend, to supply 25 teams power. And you just think, wow, I can't imagine. That was 20-amp power to 30 teams. And I can't imagine what it must cost to supply 150 teams with 30 amps. So if it's costing what I think it is, put that in the prize pool and we'll figure out a way to get the power if we need it. As long as it's something, two rules for me is let me know up front. There's nothing worse than getting to a contest where you expect power and there isn't. So let me know up front so I can make arrangements, and then some sort of I know it's always a sensitive subject, but some way to police the really loud generator thing. Have some sort of policy that you can actually enforce that says, you can't disturb the whole place with noise.
Exactly. Joe, if you don't mind, I'm getting the 60 seconds in my ear. Would you be willing, folks can go on and download for free the end of the show. Would you be willing to go another 10, 15 minutes? I don't want to hold you if I can't, but
sure.
But I want to hit on the whole Western Wood thing too.
Sure, you bet. No, I'd appreciate that.
Okay, cool. Awesome. All right, guys. So on the live show, we're about to wrap up 30 seconds, but if you go over to iTunes, Whiskey Ben in the Pit, or you come to Barbecue Talk or blogtalkradio.com within about an hour, you can go over, pick this episode, fast forward all the way to the 2 hour mark, and catch the last 10 or 15 minutes Joe and I are going to talk. Because, once again, man, it's the first time having you in. I appreciate you doing it. And, man, I just get, I always tell people, and I appreciate you coming in without much forewarning, is I kind of treat this conversation like a Friday night at a contest.
You bet.
You know, just sitting back, getting to know each other, you know, chilling. I mean, it has it felt like an interview to you? It hasn't to me. It's
no,
just
I agree.
Yeah, it's just talking and learning about it. So, so with that being said, I agree with you. We're on the same page. You know, the whole, put it in the prize money. Because guess what? If you buy $1 million or $500,000 coach, it came with a generator. And
right.
It's pretty quiet and it's pretty efficient. Yeah.
Right. Exactly. Yep, exactly. The rest of us can like I said, plant, throw the Honda in or whatever we got to do.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. We've got a little champion that's 4 decibels louder than a Honda. That's fine.
Yep.
We put it on the front of our trailer, and it goes, and it does a good job. So I'm all for that. The other question I wanted to ask you before we get into kind of the Western Wood and the sponsor discussion is if you could only pick one. Last year, you won the American Royal Invitational. You won the Sam's Club. Check not part of the criteria.
Okay.
Because check-wise, I know which one you'd pick. But,
right.
But I'm saying, and if I was in your situation, I have my answer, but I'd like to hear yours. Would you, if you could only keep one, which one would you keep?
That's a really tough question. No, check not included, because if 20 years from now, if you want them both, I think the answer could be different. I'm not saying it will be. I think it could be.
Huh?
But as it sits today, it's the American Royal Invitational for me.
And you brought it up. You stole my thunder, damn you, Joe Beland. my thoughts were I would take the Sam's Club just to say, hey, look at this thing. It's $1 million contest now.
Yep.
You know who the first guy to win it was? Oh, that's me.
Right. Exactly.
You know, yep. Well, who's the Bill Gates of winning the Sam's Club? That's me. I'm not. You can buy me a beer, sure, no problem. but you know what I'm saying? I mean that's the way I kind of look at it. Is the guess what, man? The Royals had 20-something invitational winners before you.
Right.
It'll have 20-something invitational winners behind you. And
right.
It does mean a lot. There's a lot of legacy. It's super cool shit. But at the end of the day, now, the Sam's Club, being the guy to win it first year. I mean, that's – and the way you won it, too. I mean, you stormed through the local and the regional. It wasn't like you kind of just got there on a whim and a prayer. You know, I mean, you had 2 good cooks to get there, and then and then to win it, it's pretty damn awesome, brother.
Yeah, and maybe you know, in fairness, Tim, maybe that's what taints it a little bit for me is what happened to us this year, and maybe that's not fair to put that in the equation, but that weighs on me a little bit. Was, you know, QL wasn't there in 2011. There's other teams they aren't coming to my mind right now, but some of the top 25 teams in the country weren't there.
And
you know, did they have a bad day? Did they hit a bad table? Did they straight up get screwed like we did? You know, I mean, that happens, and you just think, man, I hate to think that you know, we beat who was there, but who wasn't there? That maybe was at the Royal or those kind of things. Who didn't make it? Maybe because of no fault of their own. Maybe because they made the mistake of entering the Austin, Texas regional. You know, maybe
that was a
murderer's
row. Yeah.
Right. Exactly. And so some of that weighs up a little bit, and I think there's a way to perfect the system, and I think that's just the next step for Sahib's Club, and I've given this feedback. We'll see if they do. But the judge sign-up process for the locals cannot and should not be first come, first serve, and that's what it is today.
Yeah.
And
it's got to be criteria-based. It's got to be criteria-based.
And that's so easy to change.
Now you're only taking 30 teams, and that should be first come, first serve. I shouldn't be able to be the first guy in, and it'd be my first contest, and you'd be the 31st guy wanting to get in, and they go, oh, well, it's Tippy Canoe, this is his ranking, blah, blah. No, it should be for the teams, it should be first come, first serve. But for the judges, it should be, if you want a judge's contest, sign up.
Right.
All right.
And we're going to pick the 30 most qualified or something, you know, whatever.
We've got 70. And even though it doesn't dictate a judge qualification by how many contests they've judged, it's at least an indicator. They've tasted a lot of barbecue. Because you're talking about, you know, two guys in our team that, oh, if you could want to be jagged on Sam's Club and shit on the whole thing, here's your poster child.
Right.
You know, we came almost directly out of Pigfest being top 10 out of 80 teams from all over the country and not came out of the top 10 in our local 2-3 weeks later, cooking the same flavor profiles, you know, and yes, the tenderness is always a thing or this and that, but at the end of the day, you know, cooking something very familiar to what we turned in and the house with. So, but man, I believe in it. I think it's something that this could be something that just, when you get a name like that behind this little hobby that we do, Joe, and it's not huge on the Richter scale of life and hobbies. But when you get somebody like that with that big of a corporate name and that kind of dollar clout, it's only a good thing. And that's why, even though I've got shut out early in the local both years, I will still support the hell out of Sam's Club. Because to me, it's our March Madness.
Absolutely.
And guess what? QL not being there, that's an upset.
Yep.
You know, I mean, that's a 15 beats a two.
Right.
You know, and to me, that's a thing that makes it a little bit, you know, a little bit different. And a little bit of, as a cook, you can't just roll in and go, well, you know, been doing well lately. We'll cook my same deal. I look around here, there's 30 teams. I know I'm in the top 10. Well, hey, don't let that chicken go 2 minutes too long, or don't let those ribs be a little too tender, because that may make it to where you're not advancing out of the local round, you know?
Yep, exactly, and that's what makes it special. That's what I, you know, talked about last year when you did, you know, you get to the top of that mountain, it feels pretty good because you survived all that. You couldn't make a single mistake along the way, and that's what happened to us. We made a couple of mistakes and early on, and guess what? You get to go home. You're the 15th seed. Like you said, that there, you're just kind of upset. You got to go.
Yeah.
So,
dude, you're out there making it friggin' rain, son. You know, and but you know, so talking about that, and obviously the success you had this year. Let's dial back. I mean, you know, going into last year, you had Darien sponsorship with Cosmos. Which, as being a guy that's been sponsored by him since kind of early 2010, what a phenomenal guy. And you know, the other thing that comes out of that is not only, you know, does he take care of us on product and this and that? Yes. But he listens to what we say. So he's sitting there from guys that across his sponsored teams are cooking 200 times a year. And he's going, you know what, man? Well, I heard Chad say that. I heard Joe say that. I heard Rob say that. Let's look at this. Or maybe we're missing this little void in the industry when you talk about a chicken injection or something like that. You know, where he goes, yeah, you know, maybe that's right. I mean, I'm very vocal on the show and anytime people see me about my relationship with Darien. But, I mean, how have you felt? I mean, are you right on course with it?
You bet, yeah. You know, he's... He's a great guy. We actually were right across from him at the Jack in 2010. And really, I'd met him sort of in passing, had used some of his products, but really got to know him that weekend, and we had a good time with him there at the Jack. And then we were actually right across the aisle from him again at the Sam's Club Final in 2011, and we got to spend some time together that weekend as well. And like you said, just a great guy who loves this sport and whatever the hell you want to call it, cares about it, wants to do whatever he can to support teams and make those changes. And I called him this summer and said, "All right, Darian, I'm struggling in pork, my best category, and something's not right here. You know, help me with a tweak." I bounced some ideas off of him, and it appears we've got pork turned around, going back the right direction again. You know, and those kind of things. And I know he's constantly working on. I know he touched on a little bit tonight with a couple of things he's practicing and using. And well, that means something too when he says, "Hey, I got this new X product, and I'll be sending you some. And by the way, I cooked, you know, 5 contests, and here's my results with it." That's pretty powerful, you know.
It's awesome. Yeah.
Yeah. When he rolled out that reserve brisket blend, I tell you what, my scores jumped off the charts.
That's what you cooked at the Royal for your invitational win, right?
Yep. Exactly. Exactly right. And it's like, damn, that worked. I kind of like that. And we rolled it into this year using it exclusively with briskets. And you can go look at the KCBS Team of the Year rankings in brisket. I don't know if we're fifth or sixth right now, but that's 100%. There's my tip, my secret of the day. That's 100%, the brisket reserve blend brisket from Cosmos. That's all I'm injecting with, and it's doing the job.
No, it definitely gets it done. It's just a real, real nice brisket. I mean, it's a nice injection, and when you do it right, you don't get those streak marks that folks talk about with other products. It just doesn't happen.
Yep, exactly. It's you don't get the, "Oh, there's something off, there's something injected in that brisket flavor." You get the, "Wow, that's really moist, and it's got a really good beef, you know, and beef spice flavor." That's what you taste. That's what you see. It's not the, "Oh, that's phony brisket," you know, which I've had before with using other stuff. So.
Oh, excellent, man. Well, so here's the one thing I want to talk about. It sounds like you had one hell of a party this year at the American Royal with one of your newest sponsors, but it seems like you're doing some really cool stuff with. And that's Western Wood. So talk to us a little bit about that. How did that whole, you know, and once again, you know, Joe, one of the things you probably heard when you were on hold, I'm trying to, these barbecue teams, I mean, it's just impressive to me how many guys listen every week and download every week. And these are guys that are cooking, you know, when they can afford to. And their number one thing they always want to talk about is sponsorships. Obviously, you're in a very unique situation with, you know, how much you dominated last year. But still, at the end of the day, if you were an asshole, nobody's still going to want you to push their product, regardless of how good you are. So talk a little bit about how the Western Wood thing happened and what you feel like is the value on your side and on their side.
You bet. Yeah, no, that's a partnership that we have developed really over the last year. I met them the first time at the Jack in 2011, so coming off of those two big wins, Ryan Lawson is the kind of my contact there. It's a family-owned company. His dad owns him and his dad together, I believe, own the company. Great family place. They are barbecue. They are wood from top to bottom. They live it. They breathe it. You know, they have these huge cookouts at their plant where they package all this stuff and they feed their employees and test out different things they're working on. And they are definitely in all the way. So we kind of have cultivated that relationship over really, like I said, the last year. And there's some exciting stuff coming. You're going to see a lot more from us and from them and the two of us working together going forward. And it's very much a partnership. And they're going to help us with some things And we're helping them with some things. So Darian talked about that value thing of, you know, he's looking for the value. And I can tell you, even coming off of those two wins, there weren't a lot of checks arriving in my mailbox for people wanting to get cash, you know, to sponsor our team, because there's no value in that. There's no value in here's a bunch of money, you know, and thanks for what you do. It's very much the trade-off of here's what we can do
Let me help you. I'll help you. Or let me help you. You help me, and then let you know. So something like Western Wood, where you may be able to provide them with rubs. They've got the wood thing figured out. Now, no offense, Joe, they don't need your help on that. They've been around. They kind of got that figured out. But what they don't know is barbecue rubs. But obviously you do. So you guys can work together and go, well, hey, here's this, here's that. Let's figure out how we chop this thing up. And then you got that residual and that money on the back end. It's there's so many ways that different deals can get cut.
Yep, absolutely. That's one way. And that's where you have to get creative. You can't say, I want $5,000 and I'll put your banner on the side of my trailer all year.
No,
it's not going to work.
No.
You're going to get no every single time. You have to go with some sort of a value. Exactly. Here's a new product line that you can develop, and we'll work together on it. Here's a, as simple as we've done some of this. Essentially, you're doing a catering cake of, hey, we need this much support for X project, and we'll come in and feed your company twice a year.
What I've done is, hey, $1,500. We'll put your logo on the trailer. I'll come in and do one 2-hour rib class.
Yep.
Just, hey, here's how you cook a competition rib. Everybody will get a sample. And I'll do 2 caterings for you for a year at cost.
Yep.
You know, hey, you buy the meat. I'm going to put in my equity, my fuel, my cookers. And you know what? Most guys sit there and go, yeah. And most people that are like local business owners go, which is kind of cool to say you got a barbecue guy you're sponsoring.
And
I'm going to get 2 caterings at cost, and he's going to come in and take, and I always tell him, I say, make it either your top 20 customers or your top 20 employees. Make a thing of, hey, guess what, guys? For perfect attendance this year, instead of fucking taking you to some shitty breakfast buffet, we're going to bring this guy in on Friday afternoon. We're going to pay you to be there. He's going to teach you how to cook awesome ribs in your backyard. And then you're going to get to eat them.
Yep.
And they go, man, that's pretty awesome. That's right. Something different than my employer's doing than nobody else is. And, and right then, for $1,500, $2,500, they go, done. You know?
Yep.
And it's always, I tell guys, they all the time ask, because we've been very fortunate, and maybe it's just because the business side that myself and my teammate Jared have, We always just look at situations as trying to make them win-win. When you're in sales, you're just trying to get them to yes. And,
yep.
You know, to get people to yes, there's got to be a win for everybody. And
yep.
If you go into a sponsor and all you're doing is asking, you're going to feel one thing. That's going to be the door hitting the back of your ass.
Yep.
You know, but when you go to them or even they come to you, you say, hey, let me step back for a second. I've had guys call, not huge sponsorships, but $1,000, $2,000. And you think about it, man, that's 2-3 contests, depending on how local you are.
Great.
And you go, you know what? I'd love to have this call with you, but can I just get 2 days to kind of study your business and understand what you do? Let me understand what I can provide. And guess what? When you do that, that goes from $1,000 or $2,000 to $4,000 or $5,000. Because that guy's going to go, man, I just tried to call this guy and give him money. And he told me to stop. Because he wants it to be something that's going to be long term. And he wants to make sure we both win. That's a pretty good dude, you know?
Yep, so, absolutely. And that's what it's all about, is how do you form those relationships. And that's why I'm excited about what we're doing with Western Wood and the Western Premium Barbecue Products line is – you know, we can bring some value to them. They're all about that. If you look at some of their slogans, some of their marketing stuff, if you talk to Steve or Ryan or Chad or anybody involved with that organization, you'll hear them talk about the barbecue culture and that they're really immersed in that. And that's how they're going to get better. When people cook food outside, that's good for a company that primarily sells barbecue wood products, right? I mean, that's a good thing. So how do we get more people excited about that, more people doing that?
And here's the other thing, Joe. They've got distribution. I was in Walmart the other day, and I just needed to, I was cooking a prime rib on our new gravity fed cooker that we built, and I was like, shit, I just want a little bit of cherry to put on this prime rib, and I didn't have any cherry here, and so I ran down to the store and picked up. I mean, they've got distribution down here in Publix and Walmart. So I was looking around. Girl comes up and goes, hey, we've got this great Western Wood box here. It's got one bag of everything. It's going to be cheaper than you buying one bag of two or three of these. And I was like, that's when I sat there and went. I was like, dude, that's the one thing that they've taken care of. They've got distribution. That's real, you know?
Yep, exactly. And that's powerful.
And that's what's the hardest part for any brand? Getting distribution. I've watched the Shark Tank. You've watched the Shark Tank. Hell, Heath Hall's been in the Shark Tank. But we all know at the end of the day that's the toughest nut to crack. So yeah. I still haven't heard any details about this party y'all did on Friday night, though.
Well, I'll tell you what. There's something that started this spring. They called me. Ryan called and said, what do you think about, we want to come to the Royal. And again, this barbecue culture thing, we want to be a part of this. We want to just throw a party just to say thank you, just invite cooks in, get to know them a little bit, have some good conversations, have a drink or two, and have some product laying around that people can, you know, just from can see. And it wasn't even about the product. It was about the people. And let's just have a good time. And I said, yeah, absolutely. Let's do this. So they provided a ton of support. I'll tell you what, if you see the pictures on Facebook or talk to anybody that was there, we had just a dynamite booth. And these guys know how to set up. It was a trade show booth. That's what it was. And it was, you know, at the American Royal, but it was very much well done. We had a little open bar in the back, a bunch of products laying around, had a little live music, I guess, in Texas. Rodney Hayden come up and do a little concert Friday night. And I spent 2 days handing out armbands because that's one of the rules at the Royal. If you're going to have an open bar, you got to have an ID check, basically. So we spent 2 days walking around, and anybody and everybody I knew, and some I didn't, said, hey, come have a drink with us and enjoy. And we had hundreds of people through the booth that night just hanging out and listening to music and talking barbecue and, you know, kind of doing the Friday night of the normal contest thing times 10. And got tons of compliments and had a great time. And that was all them. That was all Western.
But here's the deal. I've seen it talked about now three times in chat. Ask Joe about his party at the Royal.
Exactly. And that's there's the value for me, right? Is that
absolutely.
Is that, you know, we get to associate with folks that do that kind of thing and quite frankly spend a bunch of their own money to say, hey, we're here to support barbecue, we're here to support cooks, this is the, you guys are the pros, this is the real deal, come on in and have a drink on us and enjoy some time on Friday night. That's perfect.
Well, here's one of the things I took from that was that, you know, I had a buddy, I used to work for a startup based out of Dallas. And they talk about one of my buddies that worked in that company with me is a season ticket holder to the Cowboys. And he called me, it must have been a year and a half ago. He's like, man, he's like, you know, I know you're into this barbecue thing. He says, let me tell you about this outfit you got to get with. He said, they come to the Cowboys games and put on a damn feed, a spectacular. He goes, but nobody else around here doesn't not buy Western Wood. He goes, and it was those guys. And like you said, a family with a couple other folks. He goes, but me and Chad, he goes, you don't understand. He goes, their tailgate at a Cowboys game is a spectacle. He goes, you know, it's big. It's over the top. He goes, they have a good time. He goes, it doesn't matter if you just walk up off the street. They're going to feed you a sausage or a burger or, you know, whatever cooked over their stuff. He goes, these are guys that are looking at investing money in getting their name out, you know, and being kind of these nationwide guys that want to be associated with outdoor cooking and grilling and this and that. And I'm like, all right, dude, whatever. And so then fast forward 18 months and I see them associating with you guys and what they did at the Royal. And I'm going, shit, man, my buddy had a little bit of a vision quest there. He kind of had it figured out, but that's awesome, man. I mean, when you can take a great brand like you've got in the barbecue community and combine it with a family-owned business, that's cool.
Yep, absolutely. And those are you go back to your sponsor question, those are the win-wins. You know, I hope we're doing some good for them and we're helping them accomplish some of their goals. And I can tell you they're helping us accomplish some of ours, you know, that this is a – I've talked about my vision on Rippy's show. I've talked about it on this show now. This is something more than a hobby for us. And what that means, I have no idea. It's not tomorrow. It's not next year. But as this thing continues to grow with the support of the Western guys, the fans clubs of the world getting involved, that's a win-win.
Is the vision truly fully competition, or is there maybe a restaurant inside, Joe?
No, it's. For me, I can answer that question really fast. It's competition. I'm a competition junkie. I love cooking barbecue on a small scale to perfection. I think it would drive me crazy to go into a restaurant and have
to try to make a brisket hold. Try to make a brisket that comes off at 10 hold for dinner service. I get
exactly.
It, bro. Yeah, I know. It's something I don't want to sign up for either. But you know, the other thing I'll tell you too, man, is, and I don't know how big it is in Iowa, it's really big down here, and it's helped me make a little bit of just walking around and competition money, and that's just basic cooking classes. I cook at a place that over in Brandon, which is about 20 miles from me, it's kind of between Orlando and Tampa down here in Florida, probably about a $50,000 kitchen, man. Everything's granite, all Viking products, stainless steel. But you go in there and there's been top chefs that have cooked classes there. There's been Iron Chefs that have cooked classes there. I mean, really, they do a nice trade, and you've got to cook an appetizer, an entree, a side, and a dessert. And obviously all mine is focused around barbecue and grilling, and it's a blast. It is an absolute blast. And that's somewhere where you can show up, make $400 or $500 a night. You can't be there every weekend or else you become irrelevant. But if you find two or three places like that around town inside of your competition schedule, it's a way to make a little bit of revenue for yourself personally. So just one of those things to think about when you're kind of looking at, you know, the whole total business model of going out and breaking out and doing something, you know?
Yep, exactly right. It's funny you mentioned that. We've explored a couple of options there, both brick and mortar like you're talking about and online, or in a DVD format. Is there something out there? And I don't know what that any of that means, but I definitely agree with you that there's the market. There's 4,000 or 5,000 of us that are really into this competition barbecue thing. There's, 50 million people who enjoy cooking in their backyard. So how do we...
Exactly. That's the thing, man. You don't realize, I didn't realize until I got into these local classes, what people are willing to do to be the best barbecue cook on the block. Right. To just make dad-in-law go, God dang it, that's the best rib I ever ate.
Yep.
You know?
I'll tell you what, to illustrate that, I've got some people who pay Ryan and I our class fee to come do that. Never going to cook a contest. They don't want to cook a contest. They have no care about that in the world.
They just want to be the cat's meow.
Exactly. Yep. That's how far people will go. So there's a business model. You're going to figure out how to capture it.
Absolutely. Well, Joe, dude, I've kept you way late. We're 30 minutes.
No, I'm holed up in a hotel in Omaha, Nebraska, so there's nothing else to do here anyway.
Brother,
I appreciate the conversation. I've enjoyed it. So
I know that. I'm traveling for work tomorrow. I'm going to be holed up in a little better motel. It's called the Marriott on South Beach.
There you go.
but it's for work, and people go, oh, well, that sucks. You know what, man? Anytime I'm not in bed with my wife at my house, It, I don't care how nice a venue it is. When you've traveled for 10 years, you know, a million miles, you know, who cares how nice a venue is anymore? You just want to be home.
Exactly.
You know? And people don't get that. They're like, oh yeah, your week sucks. You know, you're going and staying at the Marriott South Beach. No, it kind of does suck because it's not my house with my man cave, with my beer in the fridge, with my, you know. So,
yeah.
I feel your pain, brother. Well, hey, tell Omaha we said hello.
We'll do that.
And, dude, thanks so much, Joe, and I hope we can bring you back again in the future. I hope you had a good time.
You bet. And if anybody's interested in classes, just check out my website, tippycanoebbq.com. All the info is there. And I'll tell you, we're about a third of the way sold out already with those two classes in just a couple of days. So, and I know everybody says that I'm filling up fast, but I'm sincere about that. If you're interested, anybody out there is interested, please check out the website and shoot us an email. We'll get you signed up.
Well, I got you on the phone. If I want to take that March class, what's the best airport for me to fly into?
The March class is in Ankeny, so it's 12 miles from the Des Moines International Airport. So it's be a short cab ride or a rental car, whatever you want to do there, out of Des Moines Airport. So there should be decent flights into there.
Cool. And there's obviously hotels right around there and all that stuff we can do?
The cool thing about the March class is we're actually at a hotel. The hotel's hosting us. We're going to be in their conference room and in their parking lot. So it's literally get there. Get up to your room, get checked in, come see the class, and when it's time for bed, you'll be able to just go upstairs. So
awesome. And dude, I'm going to tell you one of those things, man. I will be that guy when I'm at a class. I like to be around. If you guys were up checking the pit at 2 or 3 in the morning, I kind of want to be there. So
you bet. That's the beauty of the hotel. That's why we like to do that. We did that last year at that class too, and that's exactly right. It's nice, so everybody's got access to everything. You know, we can tell you what we do, but some people want to see it, and I totally understand that. So
I just like to see it because there may be something that you just take for granted. You know, and if you go, you know, if you and Ryan look at each other and go, all right, it's time to wrap that brisket or it's time to wrap that butt. You know, I want to be able to say, all right, guys, real quick, stop. What's telling you that? Well, you know, hey, you know, I ran my finger across it, which you may not have said in the class. You may not have said, hey, I ran my finger across it. I felt resistance. I knew the bark was going to stick even after we wrapped it. You know, whatever that is. I just want to be able to get I look at it as, hey, if I'm going to a class, and my buddy Damon Woolley that went to Yazoo's class sums it up best. He goes, everybody went back to the hotel. I looked at Pete and Melissa and said, hey, I came here to learn how to cook whole hog. If Pete's throwing a log on the fire, I'm going to be next to him.
Nope.
You know, and that's kind of the thing. When you go up there and that's what you're going to do, it's not a social event. Yeah, it'd be nice to meet people and shake hands and this and that. You're going up there to learn. When I took Rub's class, I personally took 33 pages of notes. Still got it.
Wow.
All to this day.
Yep.
And that's just the way, if you're gonna really make the most of your money, you get in there, you get focused, and you just understand what's going on.
Yep, absolutely.
So
we bring pens and paper for people just in case.
Yeah,
so we're very much, we talk about that a lot of take a note, and we'll even get to spots and say, all right, if you're not taking notes, you're going to want to write this one down.
Yeah, I'm even one of those that takes my class notes and then breaks them down into Visio diagrams.
Yep.
So, you know, it's one of those, if you're going to go do it, make sure you get the information, make sure you bring it back, and make sure you put it into something that helps you be successful.
Yep, absolutely.
So, no, man, I'm telling you, that's the January weekend you have. One, it'll be too damn cold for me. Florida boy. And I'm cooking a contest down here that weekend. But
sure.
You'll probably see my name show up on that on that March sign up sooner than later. And you know what, Joe, we'll continue to push it on the show. You know, you and Ryan are great guys and we want to see you be successful and whatever we can do to help you, we're here for, brother.
I appreciate that. Thanks for having me on tonight. It was fun.
Absolutely, man. Take care and we'll talk to you next week or we'll listen to you next week on Greg's show. Hey,
sounds good. I appreciate that.
not nearly as good a host as me, but pretty damn close.
He gets by.
No, I've always told Greg we go back and forth. And I'll tell you, when I decided to get into this whole barbecue radio thing, I actually called and kind of asked Greg. I was like, hey, you sure you won't? Because I've listened to every one of Greg's podcasts and shows.
Yep.
And me and Greg have been friends way beyond this, before this. And I said, you sure you don't mind? He goes, dude, it'd be awesome. Go do it. And I said, look, man, you kind of take the Greg Gumbel 13, 14-minute approach to guests. I was like, I'm going to be the Roy Firestone, bro. I'm going deep. And, I'm going 30, 45 minutes. He's like, dude, he goes, and there's a market for that. He goes, there's people that want to know how you got started. What do you do? What's the first cooker you had? He goes, and that's the kind of stuff as a cook you'll be really, really good at.
Right.
He goes, so, dude, there's plenty of room in this world for both of us to survive and actually help each other out. And I'm like, well, shit, you know, that's a good point. But, yeah, Greg's been a huge influence. My first six shows, Greg sent me critiques.
Nice.
Either called me and said, hey, you know, here's what I do. You know, you did this, you did that. And I'm like, hey, dude, keep it coming, brother. I want people to enjoy this. And it's been a blast, man. So...
Good. Well, I appreciate you having me on. You do a good job. I enjoyed it.
Excellent. Hey, and if you do get a chance to rib him just a little bit next week, just in fun.
I'll try to get that in. I like
and
that.
And you can throw my name in there. It'll be awesome, Joe.
We'll give that a shot.
All right, brother. Hey, take care. Safe travels. And we'll talk to you soon.
Sounds good. Thank you, sir. Appreciate it.
All right, yes, sir. Thank you. All right, guys. Joe Beland, Tippy Canoe Barbecue. Great guy. Great time. Really enjoyed having him on the show tonight. He brought a ton of information. His cooking class is coming up there in 2013. We got one in January, one in February. They're in the great state of Iowa. Obviously, going to be a good time. You're going to learn a lot. So until next week, real quick, we're going to go ahead and tune this out, and we're going to say keep the pit lit. Good night.